3, 2, 1. Transmission.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It's Pina Colada time.
Well, you got hit a couple times throwing the ball. Does it seem like it's going to be a long season? Does that, you know, this amount of games, does that make you nervous?
What?
I know.
Are you retarded too?
Yes.
Hi, retard friends. Hi, fellow retard.
The difference between you and me is you have retard strength.
Yeah, and I throw the ball good.
And you're in the NFL.
Yes.
Yeah, what do I
you
have?
You just sound funny.
Yeah, that's true.
What would you do to make sure that we always remember you?
Be memorable.
And now.
Oh my gosh, that Efron is so beautiful.
Who's Zac Efron? It's freaking gorgeous. I want to marry him.
Get in line, Tuts.
Our feature presentation.
Come on.
You son of a bitch.
This show has got to be over. This is outrageous.
Oh,
are you kidding me?
Don't bogart.
It's got to be Friday. Come on, you guys.
Bean, you've been gone for 2 weeks. This is so unfair.
I know, but you know how hard it is to come back. Come on, Lisa.
But it's... We're like Pavlov's dog. You do that, and all
now
my juices
Friday.
Start flowing. It's Friday, man.
Whoa.
You know what I'm saying.
Whoa. Yeah, I do. You're right. It absolutely makes it the weekend when you hear that song begin. There's
this
no question about
now.
That.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it is not the case. It is, in fact, Monday, and it's the 15th of September.
What?
Come on.
Yes. This is a work of art, Michael.
Thank you. I want to go to that party.
I know. That's awesome.
Wow. How is everybody?
Fabulous.
Yeah?
Saw 2 movies over the weekend.
Tell me more.
I saw Burn After Reading, which I loved. Such
really?
A good movie. I did.
Really?
I thought it was really funny. It doesn't hurt that we were sitting next to 2 of the most stoned people on the face of the earth, who started laughing well before anything funny happened, during anything funny, and after anything funny. And also were practically diving headfirst into their popcorn. So they were quite amusing.
They're the only people in the history of cinema who take advantage of the refill on the large bucket-sized popcorn.
Oh, I promise you they did, yes.
And you always think, how could anyone go back for a refill? You're handing me a trash can full of popcorn. How is it possible? Now I know. Being stoned, apparently.
Being
the answer.
Stoned, yeah. They love that movie.
I don't regret.
You didn't like it?
I mean, there's some great actors in it. For God's sakes, there's 4 Oscar winners in it, and they're all very entertaining to watch. I didn't think it was great. I mean, maybe it's not fair to compare it to any other movie, but, you know, you look at the Coen brothers, you look at their last movie, and, you know, it's... There's no comparison. I mean, No Country, you know, that blows you away. And this is a different sort of movie. I understand that. But they're also walking a very difficult line in a film, which is that hyper reality is very tough to pull off. And there were times where it just seemed, I don't know, just didn't seem like it stayed in the pocket to me. But it was fine.
I saw it. I dug it.
Yeah.
I was with you, Bean, where I'm happy I saw it and I liked it. But in Coen Brothers fashion, I think I got about half of the movie. When I was driving home from it, and you know, I wasn't in the theater like, wow, this is so deep. I mean, the subtext, reading between the lines, it happened to me, you know, when I was driving home and when I got home and started to kind of realize their meanings, the meaning of mortality and how insignificant we are. So, I mean, but like Bean said, it's not, I guess I was holding it up to the standards of No Country for Old Men. And
there's subtext to that movie?
Yeah, because if there isn't, there's not much else except for...
I just thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah, it seemed...
I like the characters.
Yeah, I mean, and Clooney was just so, I don't know, over the top sometimes. And it just didn't seem... I mean, maybe it wasn't meant to be believable, I guess. But it was a little distracting to me to see how unbelievably goofy and stagey he was, you know what I mean?
See, I didn't find that to be the case. I'll tell you where that was the case, and if you see this movie and then compare it, you'll understand how wrong you are. I also saw House Bunny.
Well, come on.
Now, there's a movie that's walking the line between reality and fantasy and just falls flat into fantasy.
Yeah, I got
you. There are a couple of characters in that movie that you go, all right, really?
Like they're not even, they can't possibly even be based on real people. They're just so far gone.
I want to know at what point Lisa May goes to a movie theater, looks up at the movies and says, yeah, House Bunny's the one for me. How much?
My girlfriend and I, we just wanted something funny. And all I can really say is Anna Faris's body is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really all that matters.
Her ass was sent here by the devil to tease men.
It was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
To make us weep for what we don't have.
I will tell you the funniest thing. Hugh Hefner has a small role in that movie, and he's not an actor. And given that he's not an actor, the fact that he had one line that, not even a line, like I think one word, like what, that he had to say on the phone at one point that he said so badly and so stagey that I just burst out laughing. That may have been the best moment for me. Yeah, exactly.
That's actually from the movie. Here we go. Wow, one more time.
About that. Speaking of Lisa May, by the way, you know, from time to time, I have million-dollar ideas that I never do anything with. They never get off the ground. But I sit there and I hit myself in the face because clearly there's a mint to be made if somebody would put my idea into effect. And I came up with another one.
Okay.
I was gone, I was on vacation, and of course, you know, when you're gone, Mike, you don't take vacations, but the rest of us know, what you miss is Lisa May. I mean, that's what when it boils down to it at work, what you miss is Lisa May.
Okay? Isn't that nice?
And I thought, here's the item, guys. We've got the K-Rock store up and running at krock.com, right? We're selling the t-shirts and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
We get a topless picture of Lisa May. Now, go with me here.
Before you object.
We got a topless picture of Lisa May, which already is, there's some interest there. People will buy.
Mm-hmm.
But you print it on, are you ready? You print it on a washcloth.
Yay!
Then, 2 birds, 1 stone?
Yes. Then you're set. You use the photo and you take care of the photo. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of brilliant.
Great that is.
It's kind of smart.
Topless Lisa? Oh, I'm done? Washcloth. Boom!
I'll be shocked. I mean this. I'll be shocked if Lightning doesn't put those into work by the end of this week.
Listen, if I get a cut of the pie, I'm in.
Oh, cut of the pie. Yeah. Oh, that's the follow-up washcloth. Cut of the pie. Wow. I don't know that, unfortunately, I don't know that standards and practices will allow any kind of topless Lisa May pictures on a washcloth. But maybe there's a lingerie shop. Maybe there's something that works.
Maybe I can do it on the side from my website.
Yeah,
I could do it, right?
Maybe there's a Paul Lee drawing that we could, talk about.
Yeah, but I got to be honest.
I've been cartoon boobies?
I've been desperate, but not that desperate. You know what I mean? I mean, catalog models are one thing, but the cartoons, no, I'm not going to be doing that. I don't think.
They're kind of hot in a weird way, though, don't you think?
They're not hot enough for me.
It's weird. I agree with Bean in that I will do the duty to the most depraved human porn, like the worst, most disgusting, hideous, unsexy stuff. But for some reason, cartoons doesn't do it for me. Yeah.
Okay, then. I guess it's the real thing or nothing, boys.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Look into this. That's a great idea.
Well, we're going to work on that. Anyway, it is Monday morning. We do have a lot of stuff on the program today. First of all, this 100 Days of Metallica that got started while I was gone is insane with some of the stuff that we're giving away. I mean, last week, is it true? Last week we sent somebody to 6 California Metallica concerts?
Yes.
Very true.
They may die, but we did it.
How's that for a week? How's that for how to spend your summer vacation? My
Unbelievable.
God.
Unbelievable.
And then today, of course, you've already qualified by winning tickets to upcoming Southern California shows. And today we're doing the grand prize drawing at 7:20 this morning to win Metallica's gear. Now, I don't know much about the stuff they use, but I do remember from the Breakfast with Metallica that you could have quite the house party with what they're rocking.
We also determined last week the value, and I think by Friday it was up to $5 trillion.
According to Kevin, it was $5
trillion. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I know.
Okay. All right.
That's pretty impressive.
That sure is. So that'll be at 7:20 this morning. We got that. We will have a complete team coverage of the OJ trial that begins today. By the way, one of the channels, I think it's Channel 5, is going gavel to gavel on this trial, as far as I understand it. They're going to be covering the trial, like in the good old days when he was on trial for murder.
I heard some discussion about the picking of the jury this morning, and one juror actually didn't know who O.J. Simpson was. And they said, fantastic. That might be good for O.J. And I'm thinking, are you kidding? This person has to be retarded, right? How can you not know?
I would have said the same thing, but I took 2 callers. This is about 3 weeks ago when I was on the air by myself on a Saturday night. And just jokingly, a girl called up and said, I need a date to the prom. I said, take O.J. Simpson. And she said, who? And she was 18, so I took another caller who was 24 years old, and she had no clue who Orenthal James Simpson was.
Okay.
How about that?
I know.
By the way, also frightening, Lisa, is that a couple of those jurors were asked about their opinions of O.J. in regards to the murder trial and thought that he was innocent, thought that he didn't do it.
Okay, then. And they're white.
Yeah. What's up with that, by the way?
Well, the whole got to be black.
The only thing I can think is maybe they lied about that so that they get on the jury so that they can be the ones who fry him this time.
Well, I hope you're right.
Oh, innocent. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. Oh, O.J. didn't do it. And then you get in there and you make sure that he goes to jail for this one. You know?
Fingers crossed.
Anyway, we're going to be covering that today. I don't know where this came from, but apparently we're taking calls on ridiculous fears today. Was there some sort of a...
It was an article that Alex found in People magazine, and there were like there was some guy who's afraid of balloons. There's just some really stupid stuff.
Awesome.
Yes.
The runaway hit sensation here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's talk about Megan Fox makes its return today.
Hey.
Have you seen the Maxim cover? Have you seen the new issue of Maxim that's
out? Mike disappeared with that during the show last week. Just
you
gone.
Put those pictures on a beach towel. A washcloth wouldn't be enough.
Oh my God.
Make our follow-up item, I guess. The Sean Connery audiobook is now available. You know, he wrote that autobiography that's out in stores. Well, finally, we got a hold of clips from the audiobook. I can't wait to hear what that's going to sound like.
Very
that's
exciting.
Later on today.
Yeah.
And just after 6 o'clock, about 20 minutes from right now, I'm going to tell you all about Finland. Guys... I saw more of the great Scandinavian nation of Finland than you could ever imagine. Wow, did I go east to west, north to south in that country.
Oh, I hope you took a lot of pictures.
Oh, I owned it. Are you kidding me?
Awesome.
Or I couldn't get on a plane because of my passport.
Oh.
One of those two things happened.
I'm sorry, I couldn't quite.
I'll give you the whole story coming up just after 6.
I couldn't be more excited for that now.
I know.
Quick break right now. It's 5:41. Ralph's got our first Monday morning look at the showbiz beat right after this on Monday morning. Hey, I forgot to mention, by the way, Rock Band today, starting in the 7 o'clock hour, we'll have Rock Band 2 Special Edition and tickets to the upcoming sold-out Beck concert this Saturday night at the Bowl, so stick around for that. Ralph Garman, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well.
Good to see you. I went to KROQ.com just yesterday to catch up. I loved your tribute to Neil Peart, the drummer of Rush. That was fantastic work right there, my friend.
Thank you so much. I've been contacted by Rush asking me if I would step in for Neil Peart on tour, but unfortunately, previous engagements keep me from that job.
You're tied into the contract with Revolver, too.
Well, we're still in our talks. You know, we got the new CD dropping and stuff, so we got to spend some time in the studio.
Watching that clip, seeing you, and you got to go to KROQ.com, Kevin and Bean section, to see this. Ralph is drumming along with a Rush song, Tom Sawyer, I think it is. And Lisa's right. He looks like he's going to die. Looks like he's got an aneurysm coming.
Yeah.
And it's,
you don't know how to rock. That's your problem.
Well, it's 30 seconds of drumming. Mm-hmm. How do these guys go out there and do it for 2 hours? I mean, how does a guy like Travis Barker do his thing for 2 consecutive hours and look like he's not even breaking a sweat?
Well, they don't rock nearly as hard as I do, first of all.
That's what it is.
They pace themselves, which I found insane when I was a rock drummer. Just, what's the point, man? You know? Go hard or go home. That was my motto. Better to burn out than fade away. That's what I used to say.
You are running a marathon as if it's a 100-yard dash. That's what you're doing.
Yes.
All Comedy Aside, they recently did a study. I forget who it was.
Blondie, wasn't it?
Yeah, they took Blondie's drummer. I forget who did the study. It was some medical school. They took a study, and they set up diodes or whatever the hell they do with measuring the heart, you know, sort of an EKG system with the Blondie drummer. And they did the same thing with some sort of marathon runner or triathlete or something. And they said that the actual activity of drumming is as aerobic, as cardiovascularly tasking as these guys who work out, you know, 2 hours a day.
Yeah, he was in amazing shape.
If I remember correctly, it was a soccer midfielder.
That's what it was, right. It was a soccer guy. And they proved that rock drumming is actually quite the workout, which is why, I stopped doing it years ago.
When you think about it, most rock drummers are in pretty good shape, and then you get a guy like a Bunny Carlos from Cheap Trick, who is fat and is smoking and drinking and the whole thing while he's doing it. You wonder how a guy like that's able to survive year after year.
You'll notice not a lot of fills in the Cheap Trick songs.
Pretty simple songs.
Pretty much just the backbeat. That's what his job was.
That's true.
And I think that's the smart way to go.
Well,
look at everyone else. Hard drummers, Keith Moon, dead.
Yeah.
Bonham, dead. Everybody rock hard, dead. Bunny Carlos, still smoking and performing somewhere in Branson.
Probably will be until he's 80. That's right. True. All right, well, check that out at krock.com. Ralph is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a Monday morning. It's 5:51. What's going on, Ralph?
Let's take a look at the top 10 box office results, as we do every Monday morning. Burn After Reading, the movie everybody's talking about. Number one at the box office this weekend. Just beat out Tyler Perry by a hair, believe it or not. $19.4 million made it number one at the box office this weekend. Number two, Tyler Perry's Family That Prays.
Why the hole gotta be black?
I don't know, but it is. $18 million made it number two. Righteous Kill, the Bobby De Niro, Al Pacino movie, came out over the weekend. Made $16.5 million to tepid reviews, but pretty strong box office. Made it number three at the box office this
week. You had to go see that, right, Ralph?
I had a full weekend of other stuff. There was no movie going in my weekend. The women, speaking of reviews, woo! People don't like this movie.
No, they don't.
But people went. A little over $10 million made it number four at the box office.
You said it was going to be number one.
I never said that.
We were talking about the Sex and the City crowd, and they're all going to rush to it. I said, there's no way.
When did I say it was going to be number one?
I don't know. I made that up.
Okay. Well, then that explains everything.
But I knew women wouldn't just fall for it.
Well, apparently $10 million worth of women went.
That's pretty sad.
House Bunny was number five. Tropic Thunder was number six. Then The Dark Knight, Bangkok Dangerous, Traitor, and Death Race rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to our old pal George Takei. He and his longtime partner Brad Altman got married on Sunday in a Buddhist ceremony here in Los Angeles. People magazine's reporting about 200 people attended the event. Of course, Nichelle Nichols, who played Lieutenant Uhura on the show, and Walter Koenig, who played Chekhov, were the maid of honor and best man at the event. So it was just a Star Trek feast to be had.
Did you see the song they walked down the aisle to, though?
What? No.
How great is male ass?
Touching. Seemed inappropriate in the church, but I guess.
Some of George's own work there.
Was Mr. Takei's sister, Lika, there?
I believe Lika was in attendance. Yeah.
It was amazing.
I wish she was still there. She's here with us. She should be cleaning up the party, what she should be doing. Gerard Butler is a non-drinker.
Is he?
Apparently he is off booze. I had no idea he had a problem with alcohol, but he tells a interviewer over the weekend that he quit drinking in his mid-20s because he thought booze would kill him.
Wow.
He said in his days of drinking, he would headbutt walls and punch things.
Yeah.
But he loved the fact that people thought he was so entertaining when he did that. He said he realized he had to stop when he woke up after a night of partying with gashes all over his body and blood all over his clothing. To this day, he says he still has no idea what happened the previous evening. So.
Wow.
Yeah, sometimes a blackout is a wake-up call for a drunk.
Especially a bloody blackout.
Yeah.
You wake up, soaked with blood.
Sweet!
You have someone else's brain matter all over you. Usually that's when you know you gotta stop.
Sounds like a personal story.
You gotta shovel, in your trunk, some duct tape and a bag of lime. That's when you say, maybe I'm gonna put down the bottle. That's just me personally, though.
Mike, did you ever have, in your bad old days, did you ever wake up and have no idea where you were, how you got there?
Did he ever?
Towards the end.
On a regular basis, I'm guessing.
This sounds horrible, but it's true. Towards the end, there was not nights that I didn't wake up remembering anything.
Wow.
I mean, there was months and months and months where I drank to blackout every single night.
Oh, my God.
That was, became.
That's funny. When you tell a story, that's what I want to do. I want to drink until I don't remember what you just said the next day.
Sorry about that.
It's not working.
I apologize.
You strike me as a guy who would put his head through drywall and punch things and stuff when he got all loaded.
I would think so.
Yeah. I wasn't really like violent, but I was just idiotic. I would break stuff, and I would constantly wake up with bruises and cuts and go, well, where'd this come from?
Yeah.
So funny.
Good times.
You wake up with a lot of ones and twos back in those days?
Ladies?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Couches, shoes. Speaking of ones and twos, Samantha Ronson.
Yeah.
Looks like she may be a little bit closer to that rumor we've heard where she's going to get married to Lindsay Lohan. Apparently, everyone's seeing Lindsay wear a brand new heart-shaped diamond ring as of Wednesday. This is just one day after Sam Ronson announced to a crowd that she would be marrying her girlfriend by the end of 08. So apparently they are moving forward with these plans. You hear that sound? That's Harvey Levin drooling. That's what you can hear that sound.
That's a bad move, right, Ralph?
Yeah, that's a mistake.
Yeah. And Lindsay, I mean, I don't know if it's that she's happy or what, is looking better now than she has in years.
Yeah,
it seems to really be doing her a world of good.
But it seems like she's got a lot of things to take care of first before she worries about her wedding plans.
Mm-hmm.
Like getting her career back on track and
right.
getting her family situation sorted out. It seems like she's... Sometimes people, when they rehab, they go from one situation where they're killing the pain with some behavior to a different one. And yes. I get the sense she's sort of immersing herself in this relationship as a way to avoid dealing with a lot of issues. Mm-hmm. That's just the inner Dr. Drew in me. What do I know? Tony Romo has a deal with Jessica Simpson, which I think can be nothing but good news for the rest of the NFL. According to Star Magazine, he has told Jessica Simpson that 2 days prior to any game, no sex between himself and Jessica Simpson. That means for 2 days prior to any game, he has to listen to her talk and not have the distraction of actually getting to have sex with her or playing with those fun bags. How insane does he have to be by the time that game time rolls around?
Well, I can't imagine if you're not going to have sex with her, you're even going to see her. I think he'll just shut her out.
Oh, right? I don't think she...
Fridays and Saturdays.
I don't think she lets that happen. I'm sure she lingers.
She's watching game film.
Oh, he's just so miserable by the time the first snap happens.
Let it be so Philadelphia's tonight. Favored tonight, aren't they, Ralph?
I don't believe so.
Really?
It is in Dallas, Texas.
It is. The Big D.
It's going to be a good game.
So I'm guessing that they are favored. I haven't seen the line yet, but I'm assuming that they're favored, probably by a touchdown or so, I would guess. It's going to be a good game. Yeah, it's going to come down to defense, but I can't wait. 5:30 tonight on your local ABC, ESPN, rather, your channel.
What about that kid who subbed for Brady for the Patriots yesterday who was starting his first football game since high school?
Chatsworth.
What about that kid?
Out of Chatsworth.
Oh, really?
He's a local
unbelievable?
Boy. Yeah. 1999 was his first start.
It was before the millennium last time he lined up off the bench. That's
spent
insane.
His entire career behind Matt Leinart, Carson Palmer, and Brady.
Yes.
You got to learn something sitting behind those guys, right?
I guess, but it's one thing to know how to do it. It's another thing to go in and do it.
Well, they tailored the game plan to him, and he acquitted himself rather well yesterday, I thought.
And what about the butterflies you got to have, you know, starting that game up against Brett Favre, too, by the way?
Yeah. Favre didn't look nearly as good as...
no kidding.
Aaron Rodgers did. Aaron Rodgers.
How about
Green
that?
Green Bay's looking like the smartest people on the planet these days.
He looks like a world beater. Yeah. I know it's only two games in, but the guy looks unbelievable.
That was what they wanted to do to silence the critics of that move, was to start winning. And all of a sudden, the pack forgives him, I think.
Forgives him. They're loving it. The guy's incredible. And... by the way, for you Bolt fans out there, for you Charger fans, sorry about that.
Raw deal right there.
Sorry about Ed Hercules and that call there. That was pretty horrible.
He's pretty swole, though.
Ed Hercules? That's what he's doing. That's why they call him Ed Hercules.
Way swole.
Doesn't make him right, Mike.
No.
Still a bad call.
Makes him better.
I'm out of time. Damn it. I've got a list for you. Stick around. Come back to me in the next hour or so. Around 10 till 7, I will be giving you... the top 10 gayest albums of all time.
Excellent.
One of my favorite new lists comes from out.com, the homosexual website. You can check that out.
I'll look forward to that.
Very entertaining. Today's celebrity birthdays, Heidi Montag.
Yeah.
Oh.
Star. TV star, singer, sensation, Heidi Montag. Super talent.
Wow.
She's 22 years old today. God, I hate her.
I know.
God, she's horrible.
But you hate Spencer Moore, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Tommy Lee Jones, one of the best actors. No, not Tommy Lee. Tommy Lee Jones, the actor, is 62 years old today. And movie director and man of infinite subtlety, Oliver Stone, celebrates his 62nd birthday as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're telling me that we're still playing Marcy Playground Sex and Candy on K-Rock? That's coming up next. Is that what you're telling me? I go away, and I think things are going to change.
Why do you think that?
That's my mistake, I guess. I'm the idiot. Also, MGMT Kids coming up later this hour, and they're going to be live in our studio on Friday morning performing live, which I'm very excited about. Friday also is Talk Like a Pirate Day, so we got that to look forward to later on this week. Just when you were thinking there's no holidays this time of year after Labor Day, Talk Like a Pirate Day is coming up this Friday. So anyway, it is Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, 6:06. So I had an interesting vacation, I think it's fair to say. And I know you guys have been mocking me ever since the day I left.
Well, you've... You mean when we found out how your vacation went?
Yeah.
Yeah. How could we not after you'd been beating us over the head with your travel plans for a month before you left?
A month.
I was...
Travel plans that no one cared about because where you were going wasn't a bit interesting.
Finland rocks, first of all. I couldn't have had a better time in Finland. Well, I guess I guess I could have if I'd have gone, yeah. No, I mean, I was really looking forward to Finland.
We know you were. It's just we knew we never would. You know,
I have to say, he was going to travel from Finland into Russia, right, Bean? That was the plan?
That was part of the plan, yeah.
That does sound pretty interesting. And, I mean, I didn't need every...
in a language he can't understand.
Well, I can understand Bean's excitement going into this vacation.
Yeah, well, because I love Scandinavia, guys, and this is the thing, as I tell you what happened if you haven't heard. I love Scandinavia so much. I've been to Norway twice, once in the summer, once in the winter. It was fantastic. I think Iceland maybe is the best place I've ever vacationed in my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So it has been a number of years since I've traveled to that part of the world. And it finally, the stars finally aligned where I had some time off and was able to swing it so that I could go. And I set up my plans for Finland and really worked hard on getting a really cool hotel downtown in Helsinki for the first two nights. And I got my rental car and I had my maps and I'd, you know, got the tour book and I had all the little spots around the whole country that I was going to visit. I mean, it was really going to be a road trip. It was going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So that Friday that I left, I, of course, made my, you know, made my way to the airport, took a cab to the airport from the ferry, mm-hmm. had my big old bag because I was going to be gone for 10 days. So I had my big old bag with me and arrived at the Seattle Tacoma International Airport and got out of the cab, paid the man my $25.
Wow.
Then I rolled my suitcase up to the Scandinavian airline counter and I said, I am on vacation and I'm on your 6:30 to Helsinki. Handed the guy my passport, my driver's license, and mm-hmm. he flipped it over and he said, you're not going anywhere with this expired passport.
Fuck you.
And that was the first moment in all the months leading up to this vacation that it occurred to me that passports expire and that perhaps, I don't know, peep it out once before you go.
What? I have to know, like, what happened to you physically when he said those words? I mean, did your eyes tear up? Did you just start to feel sick to your stomach? Did you get a hot flash? Like, what? Because I think all those things would happen to me. And I'd be thinking, could I be a bigger idiot?
Well, yeah, that it didn't take long for that question to come to my mind. That's for sure. It was very similar to what you're describing, Lisa. It was a body blow. There's no question about that. I mean, I couldn't have been less surprised if I had handed the guy my passport and he had reached under the counter and picked up a frying pan and hit me in the head with it. It couldn't have surprised me any more than him saying it was expired, because it's just not something. It's not like in the time leading up to the trip, I thought, I better double check, you know, just to be safe that my passport's not expired. It never even occurred to me. I mean, like, there wasn't even a fleeting moment of doubt in my head that it had already been 10 years since I got this last passport, which is how long they last, right? I couldn't have been more shocked. So I'm standing there, and of course, your very first, like, half second, you think, well, that can't be. And then you realize, well, there's no reason why it can't be. It probably is expired. And then you think, is there some way around this?
So right.
I think what I said back to him was, really? You know, because you want some sort of confirmation that you didn't hear it wrong or something like that. I said, really? He said, yeah, it expired in April, I think it was. And I said, so I can't go? And he said, nope. And I said, well, can you cancel my flight for me? So he said, yeah. So I took my bag out of line and I felt like, you know, although no one else had known what happened up at the counter, it felt like everyone was looking and pointing and laughing and snickering. So I dragged my bag over and sat up against the wall for a second and let it sink in. And I thought, I now have to pay $25 to get back home. I have to walk outside and get in another taxi cab and spend another $25 to get home after not going anywhere.
What a dork.
What happens? Now, it's not the airline's fault. So what happens with the ticket? Do they give you partial credit or what do they do?
Well, as I found out the next day, I canceled it before the flight. So I get to reuse that ticket for someplace else sometime in the next year. So
okay.
I'm not out the airfare, at least. As long as I go someplace else that Scandinavian Airlines flies. And I, of course, when I got home, I called and canceled the hotel and the rental car.
Right.
But, you know, when you've been, you know, looking forward to and planning a vacation for that long, and then you all of a sudden realize you're not going.
And then you're just home, sitting.
And then you're just home, yeah.
And you've got to be just sitting there with the bag going, what do I do?
You think I was disappointed. How do you think Mrs. Baxter felt?
Well, you know, you shouldn't have come home. You should have stayed away for 10 days because God knows what you were going to catch her doing.
Who knows what kind of party was going on at my house,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So what's your course of action after that?
I hope you called ahead.
But let's face it, though. You're Donna, and you have the opportunity to have me gone for 10 days. How much are you looking forward to that?
I mean,
that's like a dream come true. And then to hear that you're coming home, she was devastated.
The manslave Marty was even more disappointed.
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
10 days of unadulterated wreckage.
Yes.
That's true. Well, to answer your question, Mike, so this was Friday night. So I went home on Friday night. Well, first of all, I went home and, you know, just sat in a dark room and wept.
Sure.
And then I woke up on Saturday and I said, well, I have all this time off now and I need to do something. So I kind of fished around in my plan Bs and there were places within the United States. By the way, the funny thing is every place I wanted to go at that moment, it seemed like had to be overseas. Like I didn't care where I went as long as I went overseas just because I knew I couldn't. It was
you couldn't
just
even
so
go to Canada.
Couldn't even go to Canada.
Nope.
Yeah, which, by the way, is exactly what I would have done because I've still never been to Nova Scotia and Prince Edward Island. And I really want to see all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't even go to Canada. Right. So I did come up with a plan B, which is a place that I've been talking about going on and off for a couple of years, and that's the great state of Michigan. So it's no Finland, maybe, but
Is that the Edmund
awesome.
Fitzgerald Museum? And all
there
that
is
stuff.
The Great Lakes Shipwreck Museum is on Lake Superior in Michigan, and that is one of the many destination points that I hit while
so
really?
You will never have
Honolulu
to talk to us about that.
Honolulu never crossed your mind? Really?
No, he's not a Honolulu guy. Are you kidding?
No passport necessary.
Come on. That's,
New York
that's
City?
A resort.
New York City never, huh? Really?
No. Well, I've been wanting
he's
to go to Michigan. I've been wanting to go to Michigan for a long time. And I got to tell you, you know, on the East and West Coast, they don't think of Michigan as being a vacation destination. But in the Midwest, it is the Mac Daddy. I mean, it is a huge resort state. They have so many things going on in Michigan that you can go and see. And it's just beautiful. In fact,
gorgeous homes on the lake, right?
Yes. I mean, I went through towns, Lisa, on Lake Michigan that mm-hmm. are, you know, like summer homes for the rich and famous and people who live in Chicago and stuff like that. I mean, there are $10 million houses in Michigan. I mean, you think about Michigan, you know, many of us think, you know, squalor in Detroit or something like that. But it's a huge state that's just very, very beautiful. There's so much to see. And by the way, no shortage of world's largest. I mean, I saw the world's largest weather vane. I saw the world's largest Santa Claus. I saw the world's largest cherry pie tin. I saw that. I mean, there's tons of stuff there. But I did take a bunch of photos, as I want to do. And if you go to krock.com right now in the Kevin and Bean Sites section, you'll see a few photos. And then there's a link to my Flickr page that has about 100 more if you want to check out some of the cool stuff that you can see in Michigan.
Did you?
And
was it the world's largest Christmas store? Was that there too?
Yes. 320,000 square feet of Christmas retail.
Oh, my God.
At that Christmas store.
God.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's a year-round deal?
Like 361 days a year they're open, yeah. It's unbelievable.
I'm sure you could tell us the hours and who runs the store.
I had a fantastic time. I'm lucky that I had a plan B. I'm lucky that I had a good backup. But I will tell you that I couldn't help but thinking as I'm, you know, at the Gerald Ford Presidential Museum in Lansing, although it's a fun place to be, it wasn't exactly hanging with a reindeer in northern Finland.
No,
you know what I mean?
It's not.
It was fine, and I'm glad I went, and I had a really good time, but I will tell you that I'm still smarting a little bit over the passport experience.
We enjoyed it. I have to say, we got a lot of mileage out of that, so thank you.
That's
the least you could do for us.
Yeah, that first few days I was gone, I was thinking, the abuse that I'm going to take, first of all, is deserved. But secondly, how funny are the guys going to think this is? And I thought, how am I going to let them know? Because I wasn't really emailing or talking to anybody for a few days right there. I thought, I've just got to brace myself and just call and leave it on the Afro line because they're going to love it so much.
And we did. He loved it so much.
It was a double whammy because you have been destroying us with your details about how excited you were for this stupid vacation.
Exactly.
But also, Bean is Mr. Detail-oriented.
This is
Mr.
The part
Preparation.
That puzzled us, yes.
So to hear that he overlooked something like that just brought us so much joy.
And I don't know how it happened. I mean,
I can't explain why it never occurred to me, because it only makes sense when you travel internationally to double check that you have your passport and that your passport is valid and current. I mean,
it's that 10-year window, dude.
It's almost like the first thing you do when you're talking about traveling overseas, just to make sure that there's no hang up in the paperwork, right?
It is. I mean, I know where my passport is, but as soon as I book something to Mexico, I go find it and make sure I really do know where it is and you know, check the
name. Yeah, but that 10-year window leaves it open to forget. I mean, that's not like your driver's license or something where you're constantly...
But come on. I mean, it's the most important thing. Did you happen to look into how long it would have taken you to get another passport?
Well, I did, and bear in mind, it was the Friday of Labor Day weekend, so Friday was gone, Saturday was gone, Sunday was gone, Monday was already gone, so I could have gone to someplace in Seattle on Tuesday to get a passport and try to get a rush job on in a couple of days or something like that, but by then, you're practically a week in, so I certainly wasn't going to go overseas with that amount of time,
right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's how I decided just to hit the road on Sunday and go, but... I struggle, and I feel your scorn, and I accept it.
Okay. Suck on that!
Two, test. Can you hear me now? Testing. Hello, can you hear me now? Hello.
Good sound.
Is this thing on? Told you, man. I told you it's that Marcy Playground song. It's gonna kill us.
We're never playing it again.
apparently God hates it, too. All right, it's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. We are back after a little cat nap at 6:34 on a Monday morning. Only 7 weeks to go until the presidential election finally happens on November 4th. It does seem like this campaign with Barack Obama and John McCain has been going on since I was a little boy, doesn't it?
I mean, it really needs to end.
I can't remember a time before these guys were running for president. I really can't. But there's a new poll out that is very, very interesting. And rather than just tell you about it, I want to tell Senator John McCain about it, because we've got him on the phone with us right now here on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock. Good morning, Mr. McCain.
Good morning.
How are you feeling, sir?
Like crap.
Oh,
really?
What's the problem there, dude? Oh, no.
What?
No. We've had enough of this.
No. I have to have a drink.
Oh, no. Why are you drinking, John?
I love Coors Light.
Well, didn't you marry a woman who owns a distributorship?
Yeah, I get it. It costs. That's why I drink the good stuff.
Okay.
Sure.
Coors Light!
I understand. Well, Senator, the reason I wanted to have you on here today is they did a recent survey of 25,000 people around the world. And as you know from your internal polling, here in the United States, people are pretty evenly split about whether they want you or they want the young black man to be president, right?
I've never been internally polled, by the way.
No.
Not that there's anything wrong with gays.
No. It's nothing like that at all, sir. So here in America, it's a dead heat, about 50-50, whether it's you or Mr. Obama to be president. But around the world, apparently, almost every country on Earth is hoping Senator Obama wins. What do you think that's about?
I've heard about that.
Uh-huh.
That's why I'm drinking Captain Morgan!
And
how's
somehow,
that going to help?
You think that'll help?
I need a little captain in me.
Hey.
Captain, take me away, Captain.
Oh. 17 of the 22 countries say they expect relations between the United States and the rest of the world to improve if Barack Obama becomes president rather than you, John McCain.
Why do they think that?
Because they think you're kind of like Bush, I think.
What? who did they ask? What countries?
Well, let's take a look. Australia.
Gay.
India.
Gayer.
Other countries across Africa.
Africa. Come on. What, how did they have it right in the sand? How did they ask them?
Well, no, there's millions of
smoke
civilized.
Signals?
No, there's millions of civilized people in Africa.
They run around with lions over there.
No,
what do they know from poles?
There's a lot more to Africa
they
than
have
just
it carved on the side of a cave wall.
No, it's not like that at all, Mr. McCabe.
I've seen Africa. It's a bunch of trees.
Well, there may be more to it than what
people
you know.
People carrying also spears and shields.
It's actually really big cities.
What about tutus and the hotsy-totsies?
Well, it doesn't say if they spoke to them. But, I mean, it's pretty much all over. It's everywhere from Brazil to Canada to Germany to Kenya, from Mexico to the Philippines. I mean, it's most of the world is rooting for your competition. That's all we're telling you.
Why don't people like me? I'm nice!
I don't think it's that they don't like you. It's just that they think it would be too much like what President Bush has already done, which hasn't really gone over very well in other parts of the world, maybe.
Uh-oh. What? Are you kidding?
It's the last thing an 80-year-old man needs.
Oh, that's good dank right there.
Oh, my God.
I'm going green.
This is very surprising.
One of the bands on the bill at the Hollywood Bowl this Saturday night with Beck. Completely sold out show. You can win your tickets between 7 and 8 and a copy of Xbox 360 Rock Band 2 Special Edition. All that coming up between 7 and 8 this morning on K-Rock. It's 6:46. Time for the Kevin DeBean Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO. It's a number that I learned on vacation, Ralph, to call and leave bad news on.
Yes, you did. And we enjoyed it very much.
I use the Afro Line as my therapist when I've got deeply personal problems and I need someone to talk to. I just call 323-520-AFRO and I leave it for you. Let's get started with a complaint about Lisa May. And I think this one is well thought out.
Lisa May, where do you get off in not liking the Megan Fox segment? This coming from a woman who hasn't even posted a shower cam on her website? I had to print one of your photos, laminate it, then bring it into the shower with me. Why? That's as close as it's gonna get. Until you get a shower cam, you have no right to diss Megan Fox.
I don't really think I want to know what he's doing with
he's
the photos.
He's got a point. If you put a shower cam up, you have no opinion on anything, quite frankly. Just put a shower cam up. Just
I'm
do
not
it.
Even allowed to vote.
Exactly.
No, you certainly shouldn't vote. By the way, the runaway sensation that is, let's talk about Megan Fox coming up again after the news at 7. And I'm glad because we haven't talked about Megan Fox since last week. And
that's
I've missed
true.
It, frankly. So looking forward to that. Also calling in on the Afro Line, we got an instant request for you.
Hey, guys. I've got an instant request. Was wondering if my tongue could interview Lisa's vagina. Oh, so, you know, think about it. Lisa, give me a call.
By the way, that guy was very Dimitri-like. I don't know if you caught that or you're listening
you're
to
right.
him. Anyway, give me a call, and it's your opportunity.
Unless there's something really wrong with you, unless you're psychologically damaged.
Right, because I don't exactly. date women like that.
I haven't seen the king in a little while, but is he still growing out the rat tail?
Oh, yeah.
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 This doesn't look better than ever.
Kill the rat tail, kill Dave, kill the rat tail, kill Dave, kill the rat tail.
That's a good point. If you kill Dave, the rat tail will die.
Could we get in any kind of trouble? Would it be assault if we were to physically hold him down and cut the rat tail off? Can we do that?
I think it's called beautifying our neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right? not a jury in the world that would convict us.
Yeah.
I agree. Of course, the biggest star in America right now is Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, John McCain's vice presidential running mate, getting a lot of Afro calls about her.
Sarah Palin said that the only difference between her and a pit bull was a lipstick. Well, you know what? That makes her a bitch.
Dude, wow. All right, let's see if this caller is a little bit more a fan of the governor.
Has anyone checked to see if Sarah Palin wears white pants? Think about it. If she wins white pants in the White House, America would be screwed in the literally.
Oh.
A lot of love.
Speaking of white pants, that means backdoor action, of course. Got another call on that topic.
I just drove past a lady wearing white pants holding her baby. Who is also wearing white pants, that's pretty effed up. I mean, if you want to do something and live a certain way, that's cool. But don't force it on your kid. That's not even cool.
That isn't cool. Point.
That is a good point. I agree. Here's a shout out to some members of the Kevin Bean crew.
Lisa May. Ah! Psycho Mike. Oh!
All right.
And finally, I'm sorry to say that the Armenian comedian has the number to the Afro Line, and from time to time, he'll call and leave a message for us. And I'm not sure I know what he's talking about here, but we think maybe he's hanging out with Koreans. Is that what we get here?
I guess.
Hey, guys, I've been working lately this last month in a Korean Reseda beauty salon, and they sound like this all day long.
All right, we get it. Got it.
I didn't know what I was saying.
You don't know what they're saying because it's Korean.
Now you know how we feel when we try to listen to you, Sam. It's exactly the same. That is what you sound like to us. My God. 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. That's our answer machine. What are the 10 gayest albums of all time? And all this week's showbiz news. Ralph's up next on K-Rock. Lisa said Jiffy Lube and free top off. This is a good day. Gotta tell you. Time for the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph.
You know what happens a week from tomorrow?
A week from tomorrow? I don't think I do.
September the 22nd.
Yes.
Starting at 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
The Return of Heroes.
Mm.
Yay! I can't wait. Seems like forever.
It has been a long time.
I think it's been 9 months since we had a new episode of The Heroes.
Oh, cannot wait. So to celebrate, I'm going to give away seasons 1 and 2 of Heroes on Blu-ray disc. How do you like me now?
Cool.
Dude,
it's just that simple. Actually, it's not just that simple. I've got a trivia question you've got to answer. If you're the correct caller at 1-800-520-1067, you get seasons 1 and 2 of Heroes on Blu-ray disc. Of course, season 3 starting, as I mentioned, on the 22nd of this month, a week from Tuesday. It's like a 3-hour premiere. They've got a special ahead of the 2-hour premiere episode. I can't wait. I cannot wait. I can't wait. Waiting is hard.
One of these shows that's really tough for me to remember where we were and
oh,
what's
I
going
know.
On and who's
no.
alive and who can do what.
No, Peter Petrelli.
Okay.
His brother, Nathan Petrelli, got shot just as he was going to announce that they all have superpowers, remember? He got shot in the chest during the press conference. And
yeah,
Siler takes Claire's blood and injects it.
Yeah.
So he starts to get his power back because he's injecting her blood.
What happened to the
Goes into the house to rescue what's her name, and the house blows up and she dies. Come on!
See, I don't remember that.
Anyone?
At all.
Hello? Is this thing
I
on?
I remember that.
Hello?
It's been a long time.
Hello?
What about with the Mexican kids with the eyes that go all black? What about them?
Well, her brother's dead, but Maya's still around.
She's still around. Okay.
Because Siler has taught her to use her powers for evil. Oh, it's just going to be the best thing ever. You can't watch. I don't want you watching. You got no right to watch. You can't watch. You don't deserve it. Don't watch.
It's been a long time.
Go turn on the Food Network and watch somebody cook something. Fruit
loop. I was gone last week, so I couldn't ask then. But what did you guys think of Fringe, which is kind of in that?
I liked it.
You got it, TiVo. I've yet to watch.
Haven't seen it yet.
Thought it was pretty good.
It's pretty dense, but it looks like it might have some potential.
Let me get on with this giveaway.
All right.
Seasons 1 and 2 on Heroes on Blu-ray disc. Here's the trivia question. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Primatech Paper. You know Primatech Paper. That's where Noah Bennett worked.
Mm-hmm.
Horn rim glasses, where they have all the bad people down underneath in the secret cages and whatnot.
Yeah.
Where is it located? City and state. City and state. Where is Primatech Paper located? The central location for all the heroes and now villains coming up in season 3. If you know the answer, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. And we'll give you seasons 1 and 2 of Heroes on Blu-ray disc. Anybody own the Blu-ray machine yet? Anybody have
not
one?
Yet.
I have a PlayStation 3, so I got it
you
by
play,
default.
You can play Blu-ray on the PlayStation, right? Pretty cool. Today's top 10 movies at the box office. We do it every Monday. Burn After Reading, number 1 at the box office this weekend, $19.4 million made at number 1. Tyler Perry's Family That Prays, in its debut, made $18 million. Righteous Kill, the new De Niro Pacino movie, came in at number 3 with $16.5 million. The Women came in at number 4, $10 million in its debut, was good enough to put it in that slot. House Bunny was number 5, Tropic Thunder, The Dark Knight, Bangkok Dangerous.
Hey!
Traitor and Death Race rounding out your top 10 at the box office this very weekend. Congratulations to Mr. Sulu, George Takei. Takei? I always forget.
You tell us.
He and his longtime partner Brad Altman got married in a Buddhist ceremony. I almost said Buddhist. In Los Angeles. Nichelle Nichols, of course, Uhura, and Walter Koenig, Chekhov, were in attendance as maid of honor and best man. Set phasers for fabulous. According to all that attended the
just
the
how great is male ass?
Well,
it's pretty spectacular. Ashton Kutcher apparently is the only cougar hunter in Hollywood. PerezHilton.com says that Shia LaBeouf has a huge crush on ABC anchor Diane Sawyer.
Really?
Diane Sawyer is about 40 years older than he is.
Yeah.
Dude.
But he says that the veteran journalist just does it for me. Wow. Maybe you hurt more than your hand in that crash, Shia. Maybe you should have your head MRI'd.
I mean, she's not an unattractive woman for her age, but...
But you're Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, come on.
Exactly, right.
I don't think Ashton Kutcher's really a cougar hunter anymore. If you saw Demi Moore at the MTV VMAs, he's more of a mummy hunter.
Or oh, something. Stop it. She doesn't look like a mummy.
Didn't look great. I'll give you that.
It's a mess.
It's time to face the hole.
Oh, that's just mean. Out.com polled more than 100 homosexual showbiz types, and I mean polled. And asked them to come up with a list of music released by not just gay artists, but albums that strike a chord.
Girl!
With
holla!
With the gay folks. And so here is Out.com's picks for the 100 gayest albums ever recorded. Here are the top 10 gayest albums of all time. Please enjoy. Number 10, I Am a Bird Now by Anthony and the Johnsons.
That's a great album.
Oh.
Of course, Bean
here
has
goes
heard
Bean.
Anthony and the Johnsons.
Is it on disc? Is it available to be listened to?
No, Bean owns it then.
Yeah.
Excuse me, the year that came out, 2 or 3 years ago, it was on virtually every single critic's top 10 list for the year. I mean, it was a great album.
The homosexual is right.
I guarantee you Bean owns every one of these gay albums.
And they're going to be in top rotation on his playlist.
Yes.
How dare
they're
you.
Top rotation in his colon. That's where he keeps them. She's So Unusual, Cyndi Lauper. Number 9. Well, of course, the gays love Cyndi Lauper.
I may have had that at one time back.
The Immaculate Collection, Greatest Hits of Madonna, of course, has to be on the list at number 8. Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road, Elton John.
Of course.
Number 7, Bean. So far, you're 100%, right?
Well, technically.
Yeah. The Queen is Dead, The Smiths. Oh, is that gay?
That's gay.
That
was the first album I thought of when you announced the category, was that album had to be on the list somehow.
It is at number 6. Judy Garland at Carnegie Hall. Judy Garland, of course, number 5 on the list.
I not only own that album, but I own the song-by-song recreation of that album by Rufus Wainwright from about 2 years ago.
Wow. So gay.
You're the gayest man ever.
The countdown doesn't stop till we hit the top.
Boy, that was really gay.
Indigo Girls by Indigo Girls at number 4. Something for the ladies. Speaking of lesbians, Tracy Chapman's self-titled album, Tracy Chapman from 1988, number 3 on the list. Number 2, The Smiths, number 2 on the list. Number 1, and I find this hard to believe, there's no Culture Club on this list. First of all, I find that hard to believe.
Yeah.
No Erasure.
No kidding.
I find that hard to believe. But number 1, The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars by David Bowie, number 1.
Oh,
no Wham either.
No Wham, inexplicably. I find it hard to believe that Ziggy Stardust was the gayest album of all time. But look, these are the gays.
They know better
than I do.
Right.
Who am I to say?
No Fallout Boy on the list, by the way.
Word. Dance. We have an answer to my trivia question, Psycho Mike?
Yes,
we do.
You've
been following along. Let's talk to Abby. Abby from Los Angeles. Good morning, Abby.
Morning.
What city and state is Primotech Paper Company in?
You know, I'm starting to doubt myself now because it's been a couple of months, but I think it's Odessa, Texas.
Odessa, Texas is correct. Congratulations, Abby. You've won seasons 1 and 2 of Heroes on Blu-ray.
Thank you.
Do you have the Blu-ray technology at home?
No, I don't, but I'm going to get it, definitely.
Now you have a reason to buy one. Congratulations. Hold on, we'll give you all the details.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
That's impressive. I don't even remember what superpower Claire has, and she remembers where the paper company is.
Oh, I love Claire Bear. She's looking good, too, Hayden Panettiere.
Yeah. She sure
the commercials coming
is.
Up. She's got that gun to Peter Petrelli's head.
She is aging well.
Speaking of putting guns to people's heads.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthday, Heidi Montag. 22 years old today.
Let me tell you something. 22 years old, already had about 19 plastic surgery procedures.
Yeah, she's
going
to be the Shauna Sands of her future. You ever seen Lorenzo Lamas' ex-wife, Shauna Sands, a former playmate?
That's a mess.
She's a hot mess. Oliver Stone, movie director, 62 years old today. And Tommy Lee Jones, who, interestingly enough, has been in many of Oliver Stone's movies. See, it all comes together.
Mm-hmm.
Huh, look at that.
Also 62 years old today. Interesting piece of trivia. Tommy Lee Jones, when he was in college, his college roommate, Al Gore. They were college roommates together.
I wonder if they were a party back then.
I don't think so. A lot of solemn nights there in that dorm room. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
25 dead and scores more hurt. Could the Chatsworth train wreck have been prevented?
The accident could have been prevented if the engineer had followed the signals.
That is Kitty Higgins, an investigator from the National Transportation Safety Board, on the scene of the train collision. Metrolink 111 versus Union Pacific Freight. But a final determination of why the passenger train ran the red light could take a year because the engineer died and because of NTSB procedure.
We have to rule everything out before we can narrow down what might have been the probable cause of this accident.
Wall Street down, but so far not panicking, as Lehman Brothers, the investment bankers, went belly up filing Chapter 11 because no one wanted to buy their $60 billion in bad debts. Bank of America did want to buy Merrill Lynch, another brokerage house. Looking on the bright side, candidate John McCain said the Lehman Brothers collapse was a good thing because it didn't involve a taxpayer bailout. McCain was at the NASCAR race in New Hampshire. Thanked drivers for supporting our troops in Afghanistan and Iraq. Said, quote, you are their role model. There are no roadside bombs on NASCAR tracks. Raiders won, Chargers lost, Angels won, Dodgers lost. Could break 100 in the Valley. 64 at K-Rock, I'm Doc on the road.
All right, you guys, you ready to talk about some Megan Fox?
Let's do it.
Let's all talk about Megan Fox.
Here's what happened. What happened was we started to look at the Kevin Bean Show and we realized that we didn't have enough time to talk about Megan Fox. Like, she would come up from time to time in conversation, or somebody would mention one of her movies or something that was going on in the tabloids with her, and we'd talk about her for a few minutes and it was great. But then sometimes whole hours would go by where we didn't talk about her at all. And that's BS, right?
Well,
yeah.
I think it's because we didn't have new pertinent information.
Doesn't matter. We still should be talking about Megan Fox. I mean, not talking about Megan Fox is like not breathing air, Lisa. So that's why we created this new feature, Let's Talk About Megan Fox. We invite your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. I caught up on the Kevin Bean podcast last week while I was on vacation, and we got a great, great call about Megan Fox that I wanted to remind you of.
Dude, I swear to God, I'm gay, and she turns me on.
I mean, that that's the kind of endorsement you get from people when it comes to talking about Megan Fox. And it turns out, Lisa, by the way, there is something new on Megan Fox because Maxim magazine, who, as you know, had her on their cover as the sexiest woman in the world about a year ago, they've gone back to the photo shoot and put her on the cover again for the new issue. I think the October issue that's on newsstands now has photos. They're not brand new photos, but they're photos that we haven't seen before from the last photo shoot of Megan Fox.
Yes, they've actually recycled a bunch of old photos. There's no article, really.
Really?
Just says, hey, everybody, let's remind you, Megan Fox is, in fact, Earth's hottest girl, as it says on the Maxim cover. We don't know about other planets, but she's got Earth on lock.
We've done that research.
Yeah. She's Earth's hottest girl. I mean, come on. What else do you need? So 1-800-520-1067 if you have comments about Megan Fox. And I was very impressed last week when we were doing the feature, by the way, that we had several people on who have actually met Megan Fox. We had somebody on who actually shook her hand.
Yes.
Somebody on who I think maybe was in an elevator with her. I mean, all sorts of good stuff. These photos, by the way, thank God they released these to the world. It would have been criminal to keep these pictures under wraps, like in a drawer somewhere at Maxim headquarters.
Mike, is this the magazine you disappeared with last week when we were doing the show?
You
like
got
nobody
that right,
could
sister.
Find you.
And you got just, that
and
right.
And then you came running back in all out of breath and hot in
sweating,
the face. Yes.
lacking the fluids of passion.
this one photo, she's just wearing a sheet. She's got that.
That's
one.
That's the cover,
on.
Right?
Yeah. Here's a photo of her with a teddy bear.
Oh, that's
okay,
cute.
Great. By the way, ordinarily, this one photo, you know the one I'm talking about where she's wearing the pink bra and panty set? Mike, have you seen that one? She's
yes, sir.
Has he seen it?
Are you kidding? Laying on the carpet. She's got her head up on the bed. You can see coming up out of her panty line, you can see her Brian tattoo, which, of course, is her douchebag boyfriend, Brian Austin Green from 90210.
Yeah.
Now, ordinarily, on anybody else, that would really upset me to see his name. I mean, that would be distracting, would take me off my game to see his name on her body.
Sure.
Now with Megan Fox, though, I just want to go out and change my name to Brian. I mean.
Yeah. I kind of like, I'm happy that it's there and in that spot so that I could concentrate on it if I was ever in the process of making her happy. Because I could be like, yeah, that's right. That's right, Brian Austin Green. Douche.
I didn't know about that tattoo.
Yeah, it's right there.
Wow. And there, that's where she put
She's
it.
She's so hot that Dave the King of Mexico, who absolutely despises tattoos, says doesn't even matter.
No kidding.
Doesn't
even
matter. Covered.
Exactly. All right, let's talk about Megan Fox, 1-800-520-1067. Today we start with Diana. She is on line 4 this morning. Diana, thank you for calling the Kevin Bean Show.
She needs to be put on hold. There we go.
Okay.
Okay. Diana, Costa Mesa. Hi, you're on the air. Let's talk about Megan Fox.
Yeah, I've been listening to this segment for a long time since you got started, and
just want to say that, yeah, I'm a huge fan of Angelina Jolie, and when Megan Fox came along, I have to say, I'm a chick, and I would love to do her.
Yeah, well, wow. I mean, no one can blame you there. Yeah. I mean, look, there's nothing wrong with Angelina Jolie, but she's not Megan Fox. You know what I'm saying?
So Megan has actually crushed your Angelina crush?
Yeah, well, I think both would be better than one or the other.
Well, of course.
Well,
of
sure. Course. Yeah.
But, exactly. Of course, Angelina comes with all those kids.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind.
And yeah, the mud flaps from all those kids.
Hey, hey, hey.
I'm just saying.
Hey.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to another girl. This is Ann in Huntington Beach. She's on line 6. Hi, Ann. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's talk about Megan Fox.
Hi. Yeah, me and my friend on Saturday, we were looking at the Maxim magazine, and she's a hottie, and I'm a girl.
Yeah. Yeah, she sure is.
Ann,
you're right about that.
Ann's kind of hot, too. You notice?
Yeah, Ann, he's hot.
Doesn't she? She's kind of got the low voice.
If Ann's checking out Megan Fox and Maxim, believe me, she's hot. Yeah. Thank you for the call. Vanessa is in Sherman Oaks. Wow, it's turning into the all-chick edition of Let's Talk About
this
Megan Fox.
New.
Who knew? Hi, Vanessa. What's going on?
Hi. I actually met Megan Fox and Brian Austin Green as a kid because I came into the Color Me Mine in Studio City. Do you guys know what Color Me Mine is?
Yeah. I do. I drive right by that one. It's like I was almost with Megan.
Yeah, she came in. She was really nice, and we just kind of hung out and watched Brian and Green and them paint little things for home or for gifts and things like that. They were really cool people. Mm.
That's fantastic. By the way, you saw Megan Fox in person, so explain to me how it is, Vanessa, that Megan Fox says in interviews all the time that she doesn't think she's pretty.
She doesn't? Oh, my God. No, she's really pretty in person. She's this very natural beauty, and she was really cool, like I said, so it even adds to that.
Vanessa, what did she smell like?
What's that?
Did she smell nice?
Yes, she smelled beautiful. Mm. Yes.
I bet she did. Wow. Thanks for the call, Vanessa. Let's try Greg in Pasadena on line 8. Hi, Greg. Thanks for calling. Let's talk about Megan Fox.
Hey, she could smell like the La Brea Tar Pit, so I still cut off 3 of my fingers if God would let me bone her.
Oh, my God.
You are correct, sir. Thank you for the call. David is in North Hollywood. Runaway sensation. Let's talk about Megan Fox. Hi, David. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was at an audio store in North Hollywood, and I saw the hottest chick in the world. And I just, like, stared at her for, like, 10 minutes, kind of creeped her out. And then she quickly went after her boyfriend, which is Brian Austin Green, and I went to Starm. And this is even before Transformers. And she was so amazing in person. You cannot even believe how hot she is.
Do you have to look away? I mean, is it like an eclipse?
No, not for. I kind of followed her around the store for a little while, and you know, until she got creeped out.
I would be worried, honestly, about burning my retinas, to tell you the truth, if I stared at her for too long. That would be my only fear there.
I'd be concerned about ruining my image of other women, like if everything else wouldn't compare.
Well, nothing would. But, I mean, there are certain women on this planet, when you see them in person, they have this weird, amazing glow. You know what? I mean, they really, you can't help but notice them. They don't look like anybody else.
It is funny that when this feature started, Lisa was very much against it, the point where we had to put her in the basement the first few times we did it. Now I think she's fallen very deeply in love with Megan as well. As
I just want to point,
I do appreciate beauty.
I want to point something out. Brian Austin Green's initials spell bag, okay? God knows he's a douche.
Let's do one more because I can't even believe this call. Robert is in La Habra. Robert, hi, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's talk about Megan Fox.
Hey, what's up?
Hold on a sec. Can't really say that so much. All right, hold on, Robert. Ask the question again without the lesbian comment. Say it again.
Who in the hell is Megan Fox?
You're kidding, right?
Sorry, Lisa. Get serious.
You really don't know?
Why don't you roll over and say to your cave mate Osama bin Laden how he's doing? I mean, what are you talking about? You don't know who? Don't you live in America?
Well, the thing is maybe I'd be able to relate with her. Like, maybe I could see her face and know who she is, but I can't put the name with the body or the face.
Did
or
you
the
see
or anything else?
Did you see the Transformers?
No.
Okay. Well, there's no excuse for that, Robert. Look, here's what I want you to do, and I'm serious about this. This sounds like radio jokery, but I'm serious about it. I want you to hang up the phone, and then I want you to drive head on into a steel wall somewhere. Seriously,
I almost still like doing that. Like I said, listening to all these chicks talking about her and these dudes who are willing to give limbs to meet her.
Do you have a computer, Robert?
Yeah, I do.
All right. Why don't you do a little research, my friend?
Yeah. M-E-G-A-N space F-O-X. Try Google it and call us next time as we talk about Megan Fox.
I love you guys.
Thank you.
The best part of making up is with two girls and one cup.
Mmm, delicious.
Oh, come on. That's horrible. 7:30 on the Kevin and Bean Show. This time tomorrow, by the way, Emmy Award-winning actor Michael Chiklis will be joining us talking about the return of The Shield. We got him tomorrow. Also, Gustavo Ariana will be here for Ask a Mexican. All that tomorrow morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. In the meantime, 7:30, let's make a phone call that's going to change somebody's life or at least make the garage a whole lot louder. As you know, all weekend long, we were giving away tickets to see Metallica at their upcoming Southern California dates, and you were eligible for this grand prize drawing that we're going to do right now of Metallica's gear. Psycho Mike, I wasn't here for the rollout of this, but what are we talking about? Everything that they use to make that sound on stage? Is that what we're talking about?
You get the guitar. You get
the drum?
Oh, that's her ring back.
Her ring back is close.
She sounds like a Metallica fan.
Hello?
Hey, Kevin and Bean Show calling. Who's this?
Oh, my God. This is Kate.
Good morning, Kate.
Hi. Good morning.
Guess why we're calling you this morning.
Oh, my God. I really hope it's because I won.
You won.
Yep.
You may be legally required to start a band now.
Oh, yes, I will.
She will. All right, good.
I understand it's about a $14,000 value. Right as you picked up, Kate, Psycho Mike was getting ready to tell us what all is involved. Do you remember, Mike?
I do. You get a drum kit, a bass, two guitars, and James Mike and Mike stand.
Nice.
So the whole setup.
That's cool.
Oh, my God. I am shaking right now. Thank you so much. Oh, my God.
No, I'm happy you won. Hey, which Southern California Metallica date did you win tickets for? Do you remember?
The 17th.
Awesome. Did you get your copy of Death Magnetic yet? I was listening to it this weekend.
Yes, I have it.
She's a fan. That's awesome.
She's a fan, yeah. It pretty much peels the paint in your house if you listen to that record too loud. I mean, it does kind of rock your face off, doesn't it?
That's all right. It's okay.
What's up with your ring back, though?
My what?
The classical music when we called you.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
That's automatically set on my phone. I have no clue how to change it.
Oh, that's
all right.
Awesome.
Gotcha.
That's funny. All right. Kate, thank you very much for listening to the World Famous Kid Rock. Thanks for qualifying. And you're going to have to rent a van or something because we got all this equipment waiting for you here at K-Rock. But we will contact you later and give you all the details. The 100 Days of Metallica continues right here. More to come right here on the World Famous K-Rock. It must be the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ, Monday morning, 7:40. I can't believe that American hero O.J. Simpson is in trouble with the law. I mean, this just shocks me. Guy like that, moral, upright citizen, upstanding citizen. How did this happen?
You'd never predict it. I know.
I never saw this one coming. Yeah. O.J. is 61 years old now. He's facing a dozen charges stemming from the alleged robbery of two sports memorabilia dealers in a casino hotel room about a year ago. Trial begins in about 20 minutes. Opening arguments in Las Vegas. Just ahead of heading into the courthouse, I think we have O.J. on the phone with us right now. Good morning, O.J. Welcome.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How you doing?
Well, we're fine, but you're back in court. You've been arrested and charged with yet another crime.
I know. Once again, they're out to get me. I don't know. First of all, I'm the juice.
Right.
And
you
I don't
the
know
juice,
what
right.
the, what I've done to try to get people to come at me like this and try to persecute me.
Well, I mean, I think in this particular case, the prosecution is alleging that you got together with some guys with guns and went into a hotel room and tried to get your stuff back.
Right, but who hasn't done that? At some time in their life, who hasn't burst into a hotel room with guns and then taken some stuff? Come on.
I think it's pretty rare, Juice. I think it's just you and your co-conspirator.
First of all, they have these trumped-up charges. And then, have you seen what's going on in this case with the jury selection?
Well, yeah. I know that your attorneys were not very happy that an all-white jury has been seated.
Come on, all-white people. Seven of them are women.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I'm sorry, nine. Nine of them are women.
Nine of them are women, okay.
What chance do I have with white women being on the jury? I think, and five, I heard five of these women have big scars on their necks. Come on. I don't have a chance with this kind of... How many are blonde? If they're blonde white women with scars on their necks, how am I going to get a fair jury?
Yeah, well, it's unlikely that you'll find any of those you haven't already dated, that's for sure.
I mean, I need a jury. What happened to getting a jury of my peers?
Well, the thing is you committed the crime, allegedly, in Las Vegas, which is 90% white. I mean, those are the people that live there, Juice.
But that's not my peers. I want a jury of my peers. I want 12 big black men who have run for 2,000 yards in a season and have anger issues towards white blonde women. That's my peers. That's who I want judging me.
Well, I think the judge is satisfied that he's got a group of people who are going to be impartial and that are going to give you a fair shake and make their decision based on the facts. I mean, that's what you want, right?
Well, no, I want to go free.
That's what I want.
I want not to be found guilty. That's where I'm coming from. Now, I'm just a juice. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. But I would like to not go to prison.
Certainly, yes, I can understand it. This is, it has been fascinating, by the way. It was a very long and involved process for them to decide who made the jury and who didn't. Let me tell you about a couple of the black people that didn't get on the jury, OJ, and you tell me if this makes sense. I mean, initially you want to go, it's not fair that they aren't on the jury, but listen, one of them, for instance, was a pastor who had a forgiving nature, and it was feared that that might lead her to favor you, the defendant.
Yeah, we don't want that. We don't want a nice black woman on there. No, we want angry white women. That's what they wanted.
Well, it didn't say they're looking for angry, but they're looking for people who aren't maybe prejudging the case, people who are going to be willing to send you to jail if they think you're guilty.
The woman was a pastor. She has to answer to a higher power.
Okay.
Which is that Jewish hot dog company, I think.
They came up with reasons for each of the African Americans that they eliminated that had nothing to do with race, is what my point is.
Like, come on, of course like, they did. Oh, he's got a hangnail. Get him off the. Oh, he just happens to be black. I didn't notice.
A second woman was eliminated from the jury pool because she has a brother who she believed had been sent to prison for a crime he did not commit, and they feared that might make her sympathetic to you.
Well, a black man who went to jail for a crime he didn't commit? Unbelievable. I can't relate to that.
How about a black man who didn't go to jail for a crime he did commit? How about that guy?
Well, that's another guy I want on the jury because he knows where I'm coming from.
OJ, what is, I know you may not be able to tip your hand too much because the trial's getting ready to start here, but what is your defense going to be? That it wasn't you, that you weren't there, that it was a misunderstanding? What are you going to say?
My defense is going to be I was in Chicago golfing in my front yard in Chicago wearing Bruno Mali. And I had an appointment that day, and it was someone else. I'm guessing I'd probably say it was Omar Epps.
Omar Epps?
Yes. You're throwing Omar Epps under the bus?
I think it was Omar Epps. That dude looked a lot like me, I think.
Right, but he wasn't in Las Vegas that we know of. He didn't have anything to do with this hotel or these memorabilia dealers.
Or did he? It was either Omar Epps or the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I can't tell those two guys apart.
So one of them did it, and you were in Chicago at the time.
And I would like to have just 15 minutes alone with some of the members of the jury to explain things to them about how I should be set free.
Oh, I don't think that's
especially
a good idea.
Especially with any blonde white women on the jury.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I would like to explain things to them with some sort of letter opener or a spork or anything that's got an edge to it. Give me 15 minutes and have them bring their boyfriends if they're waiters. Okay.
Oh, my God.
That's bad news.
And then
okay.
I'm going to go free or I'm going to go down swinging, if you know what
okay.
I mean. And by
that's
swinging,
enough.
I mean murdering.
What time's kickoff tonight for you, Ralph?
5:30 is kickoff.
It's going to be the Shaq?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Really? Shaq's more of a Sunday thing for you?
Yeah, it's hard on Monday nights to go to the Shaq and get hammered and then show up.
Yeah, that's true.
And do the show Tuesday morning. So usually on Monday Night Football, I tend to stay at home. Plus, I got the new flat screen at the new house, you know, and I got the...
It's too sweet.
Got the DirecTV HD package. I got the, you know, the whole nine yards.
That's best seat in the house.
It really is. You just can't beat it. So.
Well, very exciting Monday night game tonight. It's 7:54 on the Kevin DeBean Show. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Monday. What's going on?
Speaking of Monday Night Football, Eagles versus Dallas, interesting news out of Star Magazine between Tony Romo, who, of course, is the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, and his airheaded girlfriend, Jessica Simpson. He apparently had to make a deal with Jessica that 2 days prior to playing a game for the Dallas Cowboys, sex is absolutely off limits. No poontang for Tony Romo 2 days prior to playing a game.
Isn't that kind of an old wives' tale?
I've always heard that, too, that it really doesn't affect your
performance,
your sports performance that much by maintaining a distance from the female persuasion. However, in Tony's case, it may be just 2 days out of the week he doesn't have to deal with her.
He's just trying to get a break.
You know what? You just go there for 2 days, and then I'll see you right after the game, I promise. Okay. I'm just hoping she's at the game. It's all I care about. I just want her in her pink jersey. Just that's rooting for him so we can cut to her and her look of utter confusion as she tries to follow what's happening in the football game.
And when you're Tony Romo, though, if you cut off sex with Jessica Simpson for 2 days, I'm sure he doesn't struggle to find sex with other women if he really wanted it. You know, maybe it is, like Ralph said, just spacing himself from her. Mm-hmm. So that
it's got to be, because if he's not having sex with her, but he's still seeing her, that means she's just talking to him and he's not getting anything out of it other than listening to her. And
that's worst case scenario. That's horrible.
So I'm guessing he spends those 2 days shacking up with Terrell Owens. That's what I'm guessing he gets all his loving from 2 days prior to the game.
Come here, Tony.
Oh, look at my butt. Look at the muscle.
Gay.
Take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Tyler Perry's Family That Prays almost nudged out the number one slot this weekend, believe it or not. People still going to see Tyler Perry's movies.
Yeah.
In droves, but Burn After Reading was a little bit stronger this weekend and made it number one at the box office with $19 million. Family of the Praise, Tyler Perry's new movie, came in with $18 million in its debut weekend, making it a tight number two. That's what she said. Righteous Kill was number three. Bobby De Niro and Al Pacino. I thought for sure that would be number one, or at least number two. But apparently people like black people more than they like Al Pacino. $16.5 million made it number three. The Women came in at number two in its debut. $10 million worth of estrogen went to see that movie.
Number four, you mean?
I'm sorry, what did I say?
Number two.
Ah, four, yes. Number four. House Bunny was five. Tropic Thunder was six. The Dark Knight, Bangkok Dangerous, Traitor, and Death Race rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to Mr. Sulu from Star Trek, George Takei. And his longtime partner, Brad Altman. Got married last night at a Buddhist ceremony in Los Angeles. 200 friends and relatives attended the ceremony, including Nichelle Nichols and Walter Koenig, who played Uhura and Chekhov, respectively, on Star Trek. They were on hand as maid of honor and best man at the ceremony, which apparently also included scattering Scotty's ashes all over the place, which I thought was nice. Instead of throwing rice. Instead of throwing rice, they threw bits of Mr. Scott.
That's kind of sad. Do you want extra sausage?
They were asked at the ceremony.
Ah,
yeah. Bit of a fight between Roger Ebert and another film critic.
Uh-oh.
Happened last week at the Toronto Film Festival.
I hope it's a pay-per-view.
Apparently, Lou Luminick sounds like he should be a bookie more than a film critic.
Lou Luminick. Yeah. Hey, how you doing? I'm Lou Luminick.
10 points on Philly.
He was at a screening. And sitting in front of Roger, and apparently somehow he was blocking Roger's view of the screen. And so Roger kept tapping him in the back, tapping him on the shoulder. Here's the thing. Roger can't speak because of his surgeries for his thyroid and salivary gland cancer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the guy thought he was someone who's just, like, annoying him, just tapping him to be a dick. And so he wheels around and hits Roger Ebert with the film festival binder he was holding, smacks him in the head.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and apparently chaos ensued.
Oh, God.
Big fight between Roger Ebert and another geek.
Dude.
They came to party, and they were disappointed.
Yeah.
You don't want to smack down with a 65-year-old guy whose head is barely hanging onto his body anyway.
Yeah,
no mouth.
Giant bobblehead. You're hitting him in the head with a binder. Yeah, that's bad. Don't do that. I'll tell you, you go to these screenings. Once in a while, I will take a movie company up on their invitation and go to some of these film screenings for film critics. Mm-hmm. You've never seen a room full of bigger dorks in your life than when the film critics show up en masse to see a film. It is hilarious. but a bunch of just greasy weirdo losers are film critics, especially my end. Because, you know, they have big screenings for, like, the major critics for the major newspapers. And then there's the ones they invite me to, which is, like, the film reviewer for the Penny Saver. He comes by, and anyone who's got, like, a blog or anyone who's got any sort of internet film review site or anything. Wow! What a massive collection of losers these people are. It's horrific. That's one of the reasons I don't go. I think I just feel so skeevy after I get out of there. It just feels bad.
Because they're looking at you and lumping you in with that their type.
He's one of us. It's like going to a Southern family reunion. Everyone's sort of inbred and missing teeth and stuff or anything. And the mullet still lives on, and people carrying dinner in with them and paper bags and things. It's all very disturbing.
That is no way to live.
Amy Winehouse has a lot of problems.
What?
Sure.
But here's this is funny. She was set to celebrate her 21st birthday party at a big bash at a nightclub in London called Jazz After Dark in the Soho section of London.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But she didn't show to her own party.
Okay.
Rumor has it she was so hammered, so wasted, so loaded up on various products that she couldn't make it to a party to get hammered.
Dude.
Ugh. Sounds about right.
If you're too drunk to go get drunk... What? Yeah. That's bad, right?
Did I hear you throw in there that it was her
25th birthday party. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's unbelievable. I mean,
look
she really...
Her.
Well, you look at pictures of her from 4 years ago, you can't believe it's the same woman.
Yeah.
Goodness me.
Drugs are not good for you, kids. Take anything away from that.
I know we joke about the death pool, Ralph. Is there a way to make money somehow off of what's certain to be an obituary coming soon from her?
I think it would be one of those situations, like in Vegas, you'd have to lay $300 to make one kind of thing. You know, I'm sure whatever death pool is out there, she's the odds-on favorite. So you'd have to lay some heavy money just to make a couple bucks.
Yeah, it's like SC versus Cal State LA. I mean, it's not even worth betting.
Taking the money line, you got to put like $1,000 just to get just to make $100. Hardly worth it. And lastly, the Muslims are up in arms over a brand new video game. I can't imagine why this would upset them. Video game is called Muslim Massacre.
Oh no.
And the object of the game is to wipe out all of Islam.
Oh, no. Who's making this game?
It does not say who the manufacturer is here, but it's a new video game where you, this is from the box, you take control of an American hero to wipe out the Muslim race with an arsenal of the world's most destructive weapons. It's like, oh, Mike, why are you laughing?
It sounds like a joke.
As you can assume, plenty of Muslim groups are upset with the game, calling it unacceptable, tasteless, and deeply offensive. Makers of the game say it's just well-done satire. No harm intended.
DJ Omar Khan.
Yeah, so.
Well, I mean, the reality is, whatever company is making this, if they put out a similar game to eliminate the Jews, for instance, how long would they be in business, you know?
Yeah.
For half a second.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, so there you go. Here's your news for the day in terms of world peace.
Do you give gifts at Ramadan? Would that be an appropriate gift for the Muslim in your circle of friends?
We found out last week, thanks to Miss Cleo, that Ramadan itself is not a holiday. But the end of Ramadan, when they can start eating and boning again during the sunlight hours, that's when the party happens. I forget the name of that particular holiday. But
how long does Ramadan last, Ralph?
A month. Today's celebrity birthdays. Someone emailed me today, and I accept your scorn for lumping Heidi Montag in with celebrities on their birthdays.
Yeah.
But look, you can't deny.
We don't want it, but it is.
She's a celebrity. You can't deny it. That's all she is. Singer, TV star, Heidi Montag, 22 years old today. Oliver Stone, movie director, turned 62. And Tommy Lee Jones, very talented actor, is 62 years old today as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Speaking of the rock music, congratulations to Katie Sizek from HB. She was our grand prize winner from last hour. She won Metallica's Road Gear, something like $14,000 worth of guitars and amps and microphones and everything like that. Did that grand prize drawing at 7:20 this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ralph Garman, apparently I missed a conversation that came up last week in the office about people with unusual fears. What prompted this?
There's a great article in People Magazine this week where it talks about bizarre fears that people have, how anything can be terrifying. The article is called Living in Fear, and they profile such people as Mike Calderone, who apparently is terrified of balloons.
How does that happen?
Well, when he was a kid, Lisa, he was at the circus, and a kid next to him was squeaking and rubbing a balloon, and then it popped. It okay. scared me so bad, he recalled, and now he has to stay at least 100 feet away from any balloon, or else he goes into a state of panic.
Wow.
Allison Jones, another person profiled here, is a fear of bananas. I was driving by a Cold Stone Creamery near my house, she says, and they had this big guy outside dressed in a banana suit. I actually swerved and almost got into an accident. I don't think bananas should be allowed to walk around on two legs. The rational part of me says, she adds, what's the problem? It's just a piece of fruit. But another voice tells me they're evil, or as evil as fruit can be.
Okay, there's something wrong with her.
She hates bananas. They're evil. They're and evil.
I hate to suggest this, but is it a trauma involving a banana shape?
How dare you, sir?
I'm wondering if it's something to do with the fruit or if it's just that shape in general.
Her husband loves bananas and brings them home, but he's got to tie them up in some sort of opaque bag. She says, okay. I can deal with them if I know where they are. Apparently, she doesn't like rogue bananas on the loose, but as long as they're safely secured in some sort of bag with a twist tie on it, she can cope.
Ralph, how many times a year do you see a story about someone getting murdered in his or her sleep by a banana that crawls in from the kitchen, though? Man,
that's
it can happen.
True. Look, I know they get around. There's an interesting list. Railroad tracks. Guy can't stand railroad tracks. He can't
Drive over them?
He can't drive over them.
Live in Chatsworth?
And hates trains. Hates railroads as well. And when he's at a railroad track intersection and the thing comes down, he can't wait for the train. He's got to back up and turn around and go the opposite direction. He can't stand to see the train or the train tracks.
I want to hear more, but it won't surprise our listeners to know that we are going to take your calls because we know that we have people out there who are afraid of things. Even though you know it's crazy that you're afraid of it, you can't help yourself. It's real for you, and we want to know what that is at 1-800-520-1067. Maybe you've got the lutrophobia, which is the fear of otters.
Sure.
Or the metrophobia, which is the fear of poetry. I mean, whatever it is that you're afraid of, we want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067.
People afraid of mascots? Morgan McMillan is scared to death of anyone in a costume, like the Chuck E. Cheese's. She almost passed out from the Chuck E. Cheese mascot.
No kidding.
I thought they were going to torture me, she explains. Apparently she doesn't trust anyone dressed as a giant rodent.
That's interesting because we've talked to people before who are really turned on by people in mascot costumes,
I know.
Too.
True.
I mean, it's interesting how different that can be. And I wonder if some of that is part of the same fear that people have of clowns, is that the person is not being fully seen. Like, it's scary what you can't see, and there's something going on behind the face paint or behind the mask.
It must be evil.
Morgan
says,
must be evil, yeah. Anyone in costume, even children with their faces painted at carnivals frighten her.
Yeah. She's got it bad.
And that ain't good.
Yeah.
That ain't good at all.
Fear of crossing bridges. Here's an elderly woman named Carolyn Garcia. Cannot cross a bridge.
Walking, driving,
nothing.
Period.
Can't go on the structure itself.
Don't you just end up not being able to leave a city at some point?
I guess so.
I mean,
yeah, don't live in Manhattan, for God's sake, if that's your thing.
Yeah, you'd just be trapped.
Absolute fear came over me the first time I crossed the bridge. I felt like stopping the car right there and running across the bridge just to get off. She said there's no way she can cross a bridge. Can't, and even a small footbridge with her husband, when she's walking with her husband, can't cross a footbridge across a stream or lake.
Isn't that bizarre? Now, forgive my ignorance on this, because I honestly don't know. But for each of these people, does something have to have happened in their early childhood in order to start that fear? Or is it possible that somebody could just be born with some sort of absurd fear of something that doesn't make sense?
Well, in these particular stories, sometimes it seems like there's deep-seated childhood trauma that causes the fear. And sometimes it just besets them. Like this woman with the bridges, she had no prior experiences with bridges. It just happened when she crossed it. She went to a state of panic.
I guess it would be like fear of heights. Nothing necessarily touches that off. You just have it.
And maybe for whatever reason, she crossed a bridge in her car one time, and it flashed in her mind, oh, my God, I'm on this bridge, and I've got no escape if the bridge collapses. And maybe now she just can't get that image out of her mind of the bridge might fall apart if I get on it.
Or it would be so easy for me just to veer to the right and hit the guardrail and go over the bridge or something. You know?
Unbelievable. All right, well, we got some tremendous calls, 1-800-520-1067. Let's squeeze in a couple before the break. Allison is in Covina. She's on line 8 this morning on the Kevin Amin Show. Hey, Allison, thanks for calling in. What are you afraid of?
I'm afraid of flamingos.
Flamingos?
Yeah.
How often do you run into the flamingo out there in Covina?
Not very often, but my family tends to. One time they got, like, party lights that were flamingos and put them up in my room.
Right.
To make fun of me, yeah. It is from childhood, though.
What happened?
Were you attacked by a flamingo?
I was at a school event at a zoo, and I saw the flamingo, and it had its one leg up and its head in the sand, and I freaked out.
I think you're thinking of an ostrich, by the way, that has his head in the sand. Flamingos, I think, put their heads under their wings, I believe.
I think you're right, though.
Whatever it was, it didn't have a head, and its leg was up. And it was scary.
It's on one leg, so what do you expect?
But Allison, in the times where you've seen flamingos, like you're at the L.A. Zoo, or maybe you're just coming across a Miami Vice rerun on TV, I mean, you know that they can't hurt you, right? You know that logically, you know the flamingo isn't going to do anything to you, but you can't stop yourself from being afraid, right?
Yeah, I know they're animals, and they're just birds, or are they even birds?
They're birds.
They're birds, yeah.
No, I don't like them. They scare me. I see them and I have to change the channel.
And even the plastic ones that people put on their lawns kind of freak you out?
Yeah. Because of what's the need. I don't know.
Don't move to Florida.
Just to F with you, Allison. That's why we do it.
Do you ever go to Vegas and have to go completely around the flamingo when you're on the strip?
No.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if it was the word the or just the animal. Okay.
Yeah, I think there's a whole street. Isn't there a flamingo road?
Yeah. Flamingo
Vegas
Avenue,
too.
Yeah.
All right, Allison, thanks for the call. One more before the break, then we'll get to you at 1-800-520-1067. Brittany is on line one. She is in Tujunga. This is one. I don't know how you escape this one your whole life. Brittany, hi. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I'm terrified of socks. Actually, I really have a hard time even saying that word, but for clarity, I figured I should.
Yeah, rather than have us guess what you're afraid of, that would have been hard.
What do you call them?
I call them foot things.
Foot things, right.
What I mean when that comes up.
Brittany, what do you wear in your shoes then?
I don't. I wear flip-flops or I wear ballet flats, and I wash them a lot.
When you were in high school or junior high and in PE, you had to wear tennis shoes.
Yeah, I was the kid that took my shoes home all the time to wash them.
So you never wore socks?
No, I can't. I can't even look at them. My friends think it's so funny to give them to me, like, for Christmas, and when they come back from vacation and stuff.
They bring you souvenir socks from wherever they go?
What on earth do you think caused this one?
Oh, I know what caused it, but I don't know if you want to know.
Yes. Oh, now I have to know.
When I was little, my mom had this terrible, disgusting fungus, and I remember seeing her take off her socks one day, and there were chunks of her foot in them.
We had to know, didn't we?
Yeah, we had to ask.
No, I don't want to wear a sock.
Can you root for the Red Sox or the White Sox? No, I guess that's a no then. All right, Brittany, thank you very, very much.
See, I think you'd be afraid of feet more than you'd be afraid of socks.
Yeah,
but the feet
socks
were in the sock.
But the foot was falling apart, not the sock. The sock didn't cause the fungus.
And I doubt her and her mother share socks. You know, I agree with Ralph. I think it's just,
I think now, though.
Didn't we have an intern here who was wigged out by feet? Bare feet, couldn't cope with bare feet. Would she go running from the room at the sight of a bare foot?
Yeah, and I'd attack her like a ninja every second I could. Just feet first.
Feet in her face? Yeah, it's good times.
That's an unbelievable call with the socks. All right, we got plenty more great ones you don't want to miss. 1-800-520-1067. What are you afraid of? We'll take your calls after this on K-Rock. Talking about this week's People magazine with an article on irrational fears. Omar writes in, I'm terrified of the possibility of my passport being expired. Well, that's just rubbing it in. If I'd have had that fear, maybe I could have gone to Finland. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. There was an episode not too long ago of the Maury Povich Show. They had a woman on, guys, who was afraid of pickles. Listen to how wigged out she got by just the sight of a pickle.
This is what the sight of a pickle does to Mariah.
My name is Kyle. I hate pickles. I hate everything about them. Pickles are destroying my life. People make fun of me. I feel ashamed. I'm actually afraid of them. When I think about pickles, I just want to throw up and run away. What I hate most about the pickles is the shape, the texture of it, the color, the...
Freaking pickle lady.
I want to hit her in the face with a pickle until she stops crying is what I want to do.
Lisa May, come on.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. Oh, so many good ones. Let's see if we can get to all of them. Jamie is in Hermosa Beach. He's on line 2 this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Jamie, what are you afraid of?
I don't think you'll see me on Maury anytime soon, but I don't like butterflies. They're like fuzzy winged worms that are suspended in the air. They're disgusting.
Doesn't Nicole Kidman have that same
fear? Just going to say, Jamie, you share that with Nicole Kidman.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Oh.
She was attacked by a flight of, or whatever you call it, a gaggle of butterflies at her farm in Australia. She was swarmed by them, and she's been freaked out ever since.
But what can a butterfly do to you? A butterfly can't hurt you. If you were unconscious and 100 butterflies landed on you, they couldn't hurt you.
That's me thinking about it. Try driving through the Midwest in the middle of the summer and having about 500 hit your windshield.
Ew.
They're just disgusting.
Did you ever see Mothra, the horror movie, the giant butterfly that attacks Tokyo? It's awesome.
That's the best. Thank you for the call, JB. Thelma is in Downey on line one. Hi, Thelma. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's your irrational fear?
Morning.
You know what it is? I've always wanted to meet somebody that shares my fear of men's Adam's apples.
Yeah. Adam's apples?
Yes. They're so creepy. I always feel like they're just going to pop right out of their neck and hit me in the face, and I've had nightmares about it. It's not funny. It's really
it's funny.
But how do you...
I don't like being in the same room with men that have really big ones, you know?
Whoa.
That's what she said.
Are you a lesbian by any chance?
No.
But you Not should be, right? But you totally
no,
should
no,
be.
No, she just can't have big ones.
That's what she said.
Sex facing away
you know
from
what?
A gentleman.
I made the mistake in high school of letting it known. And there used to be this boy that used to chase me around in the hallways, moving that Adam's apples up and down, and he used to creep me out to the point of tears. And it's not something that I remember really being...
Any reason
like,
for?
Having a traumatic event. No, it always made me uncomfortable. And like I said, every... Once in a while, I have nightmares about it, but
That's
I don't think
amazing.
It's that unusual. But it's
yes, it is.
It is.
But you know,
we
take calls like the smallest thing. You broke up with someone. She could meet like the greatest guy in the world on a blind date. He has a big apple, a big Adam's
Whoa.
Apple.
That's what she said.
Done. He's
yeah,
out.
That's Spencer Pratt
not
must
gonna
make
happen.
Her head explode.
She ever met
that.
Clint Eastwood? She just faint get away.
Thank you, Thelma. By the way, we've taken I don't know half a dozen calls. There's a half a dozen more on hold. Every single one of them, with one exception, is a woman for these crazy fears.
That's true. Women are scaredy cats.
Isn't that interesting? And speaking of body parts, let's try Rachel in Corona. Rachel, hi, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show. What are you afraid of?
I'm terrified of knees.
Knees?
Yeah.
How
does that even come up? Where do you run into a knee?
I don't know. I've always been afraid of it. There was never anything that brought it on. Like, my dad even said when I was little, like, when I was on the couch, I was watching TV, if he would, like, touch my knee, I would, like, move away on the other side of the couch. But nothing ever brought it on.
Well, if your dad's touching your knee while you're sitting there on the couch, that's a whole other fear.
I think that's part
that's
of where
creepy
the problem
on a whole other level.
I really freak out. If someone touches my knee, I'll either, like, hyperventilate or start dry heaving.
Okay, what about just looking at knees? Like if you're watching soccer or something like that and got a bunch of guys or girls who are running around, their knees are exposed. Does that wig you out?
If it's normal, I mean, like, if people are just running around, I'm not looking at the knees. Soccer, obviously, I'm looking at the ball. I'm looking at the goalie. I'm looking at the players. I'm not focused on the knees. But if there's, like, an injury with a knee, I have to walk out of the room.
What if you're, like, sitting across from a woman in a dress and you can
see
her knees?
I can't look down.
No kidding. That is so weird.
Thank you, Rachel. Knees, I mean, you can't get away from them.
No.
You have to see them every day. Speaking of stuff that you just can't escape, listen to what Jennifer's afraid of in Temple City on line four. Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's up?
Hey, I have an irrational fear of sleep.
What?
Of sleep?
Yeah, it started, I was like 17 and I got hit by this car in a parking lot. It was one of my friends. After that, like, my brain chemistry, like, changed or something. And then, I lay down, I close my eyes, and then I freak out and have to jump out of bed. It's crazy.
Are you afraid you're going to die during your sleep?
No. There's no, like, rational reason behind it. I just freak out.
Well, you have to sleep, so what do?
Take sedatives that turn my brain completely off.
That's hardcore.
Wow. Rad.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Is.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Have you ever gone to see a doctor for it to ask if there's anything they can do? Can they hypnotize you or something like that to make you not think the way you do?
I've been to doctors, and all they say is there's nothing they can do about it, and they give me sedatives, and they told me when I was 17 that I might grow out of it, but that was like 11 years ago. And
wow.
I'm still waiting. Yeah.
That's
still waiting
that's
for
a
that one.
That's a tough one to beat. Well, I mean, you're taking the right first step, which is if you're having trouble sleeping, just put the Kevin and Bean Show on each morning.
Yeah.
And that generally does the trick. All right, Jennifer, thanks for the call.
By the way, talking about the irrational fears a moment ago,
mm-hmm.
Missy writes in, I listen online, have to share with you guys my own irrational fear. Check it out. Bismarcky.
Well, that's just ridiculous.
He absolutely terrifies me. I can't see him either in photo or film without making loud noises, turning around, freaking out, or doing all this until he's out of sight. I don't know why, but there's something about him that makes me totally lose it. From his You Got What I Need video to his turn in Men in Black, I lose my mind, I tear up, and I generally get the heebie-jeebies every time I see Bismarcky. Even typing this letter is giving me the creeps. Must stop typing, says Missy. That's
weird.
There can't be many of those, right? There
no.
Can't be.
Seems like a pretty innocuous dude.
It kind of does. All right. It's 8:45 on the world famous K-Rock. One of our all-time favorites is back in the news, and I couldn't be more excited about this. Oscar-winning actor Sean Connery, as you know, is a frequent guest on the Kevin and Bean Show. We love this dude. Of course, he was the early movie James Bond. He's gone on to so many other great roles over the years. But he finally has sat down and written his autobiography. He turned 78 years old last month, and on his birthday, he released his autobiography, which is called Being a Scot. Now, we were going to get the book, but we hoped that an audiobook would make itself available, and it has. So now our dreams have come true. We get to hear the life story of the great Sean Connery in his own words. And I think we have some clips to share with you this morning, starting with Sean Connery reminiscing a little bit about his early years from his brand new autobiography.
Being a Scot by Sean Connery. Read by Sean Connery. Chapter 1, The Early Years. I was raised in the Fountain Bridge section in Edinburgh, Scotland, the son of Effie and Joseph Connery. Effie was a cleaning woman for most of her life, and my father, Joseph, was a factory worker and a truck driver. The thing most people remember about Joseph Connery is that he had an enormous c***. That's right, he was hung like a baseball bat. He strapped my mother's c*** out something fierce. In fact, when the wind would blow through our house, you would hear her a whistle because it was no. out so huge from his enormous Dad had done such a number on her that when I was a child still in her womb, they had to fit me for cleats so I could stay in her. If I didn't have those, I would fall out onto the floor, just dangling from the umbilical cord. For fun, as a fetus, I would yodel inside her massive. Those were the days when my mother picked up her first nickname, Old Cavern.
Oh, oh, God.
Well, he certainly isn't holding anything back. It's a lot of these celebrities that kind of whitewash the story, you know what I mean? But yeah. He's giving us the facts. All right, we move on now to his professional career in his early 60s breakout role as James Bond in the movies. Again, Sean Connery from his autobiography.
Chapter 7, The James Bond Years. I remember it as if it was yesterday. But it was 1961 when I first got the role of James Bond, secret agent. I did 7 James Bond films, if you include Never Say Never Again. But the one I remember most, and most people do, is Goldfinger. Probably because of the Aston Martin car I drove in that film, which became one of the most famous cars in the world. Most people remember all the gadgets the car had. I remember all the f***ing I did in the back seat of it. I remember one time I was f***ing just extra on the set of Thunderball. Never had there been a more appropriately named movie. I was deep inside her when we decided to shift to the front seat, and accidentally I impaled her on the stick shift. Her pressed up against the secret button, and the ejector seat went off and got wedged inside her. Never wanted a mission opportunity. I removed the seat from her and promptly replaced it with my huge. I for about 17 hours straight until strings of ropey. Were leaking from every I her so much, I killed her. Literally. So I drove her away in the Aston Martin and buried her lifely corpse in a shallow grave. Ah, memories.
Oh, wow. Jeez. Wow. I don't know how we didn't hear about that one at the time. But there it is, straight from Mr. Connery's mouth. And finally, from late in the book, of course, Sean Connery talking about his role in the great Indiana Jones movie.
Chapter 18, Indiana Jones's Dad. I remember when Steven Spielberg asked me to play Indiana Jones's father. Steven Spielberg is an enormously talented filmmaker and a smart j*** with his money. I remember the first day on the set, I got a chance to meet Harrison Ford. What a boring f*** he is. But the good news was, his d*** was so small that when we used to f*** the same girls, they thought I was even better. I remember once we were tag f***ing some whore from the makeup department. I, of course, was her Harrison was her and I remember her saying distinctly, no thank you, I don't smoke. Because his C's were so small, she thought it was a cigarette. Get it? He's got a tiny it's not a big fat like mine. Boy, did I her. I remember it as if it was yesterday. In fact, my right now, just talking about it. Excuse me while I go my and a giant pool of
okay. All right.
My
wow.
God.
I guess when you're 78, why hold it back, right? That's Sean Connery's autobiography audiobook available everywhere.
Life is full of variables. Learn how to solve them with a BS in mathematics from National University. Call 1-800-NATUNIV. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Call him BS on your read of
that. Oh, no, you didn't.
So what happened when I went on vacation and planned a trip to Finland and got to the counter to leave on my flight to Helsinki and found out that my passport was expired?
Yeah, what I'll happened tell, when that happens?
I'll tell that exciting story.
You just told
me.
You said it. There's no story left.
But what do you do then?
Who cares?
Do you just end your life?
You left
do you
with
just
the punchline.
You just lay down in a ball on the airport floor and just cry.
Like a theme song to a 70s action show.
Just told us the whole plot.
And how I went to Michigan instead. All of that coming up after the news at 9. First,
don't bother. You just heard it. That's all there is. It's nothing more than that.
If you think you're smart enough, I don't think.
What happens when a guy goes to work and finds out that his wife's banging his boss and that he goes in and kills him? Tonight on the brand new episode of that show.
Give it up!
Okay.
Speaking of shows, tomorrow night,
yeah,
House returns.
That's yeah. Right.
Oh, I can't wait. Oh, I miss House so much.
I miss House so much, too. And by the way, speaking of shows, how unbelievable has Mad Men been?
Oh! Insane.
Insane, right?
Best so ever.
Yeah, I had the heebie-jeebies watching last night's episode. And
I
how great
seen
it.
I haven't seen
Weeds
yet.
Has been unbelievable, too. The season finale of Weeds, I can't even imagine what they're going to do based on what's been happening so far. I mean, it's just been great. And The Shield is coming back. We got Michael Chiklis on the show tomorrow. We're starting to get into a great time of year for the TV, you people.
I call him Chicky.
Do you?
Chicky? Chicky.
Yeah, it actually started last week. That was the first new episode.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Let's screw him. We don't need him on now. Screw him. The show's already started.
He needs to catch us up. I'm confused.
Yeah, me too.
Let's talk about the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Burn After Reading, the George Clooney, Brad Pitt comedy, in its debut made $19.4 million. Good enough to make it number one at the box office. Tyler Perry continues to knock him out of the park. This time,
that guy. What would he need him for?
Well, look.
Someone did.
Brothers got to see a movie. Family That Prays came in at number two with $18 million in its debut weekend. Righteous Kill with De Niro and the other dude. What's
Pacino.
His name?
Pacino. Al Pacino, yeah.
Yeah. $16.5 million made it at number three. Then The Women with $10 million came in at number four. House Bunny, Tropic Thunder, The Dark Knight, Bangkok Dangerous, Traitor, Death Race came in at number 10. Rounding out your top 10 at the box office. You know what I'm looking forward to movie-wise is that Eagle Eye. We're doing a special K-Rock screening on it.
Yeah,
that
looks good.
Michelle Monaghan and Shia LaBeouf.
It looks really tense. Yeah. Didn't you do a voice in it?
I do. I appear as a dude on the radio in Eagle Eye.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Check me out. See if you can find me.
I
scream. Watch the movie. When you hear my voice, just stand and scream. Hey, it's Ralph! Just scream. It's really appropriate.
I love Billy Bob in roles like this, too. Authoritarian roles. He's always great.
He's a badass in this film. Anyway, the star of the film, Shia LaBeouf, confessed to PerezHilton.com that he's got a crush on Diane Sawyer from ABC News.
Odd choice.
Odd indeed. She's about 40 years his senior.
Yeah, she's like 60-something.
Yeah. But he says that the veteran journalist just does it for me, in his words.
Okay.
What? There's a lot hotter news people even than Diane Sawyer.
Yeah, I think he's one of those guys who's so successful and good looking and stuff. He's probably gone through all his lion's share of the poon. So now he needs this like wacky, kooky stuff to turn him on. Like Diane Sawyer.
Break me off some Barbara Walters before I got Diane Sawyer.
Yeah.
She's nasty. Tell. She's got that lisp going on.
No.
Whatever that means. Great list from out.com. You know out.com, don't you?
Oh!
Miles? That's right. It's a very popular gay website. Apparently, they asked 100 homosexual showbiz types to come up with the best gay music ever, released not just by gay artists, but songs and albums that struck a chord with gay folks on the panel.
Hey, bud. I just got the new Fall Out Boy song on my B-Cast phone. It gets me pumped.
Yeah, sadly, Fall Out Boy not in the top 10, but they did come up with a list of the 100 gayest albums ever recorded. Here are your top 10 of the gayest albums ever recorded. Number 10, I Am a Bird Now by Anthony and the Johnsons. Is it just because they're called the Johnsons? The gay guys like it?
He has a really high voice like this, too.
Is Nick the sign holder?
No, I'm saying that's what he sounds like.
I'm going to get high tonight.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to sing like. I Am a Bird Now with my friends the Johnsons. Number 9, the album See She's So Unusual by Cyndi Lauper. All right, okay. Cyndi Lauper.
But not, I mean, nobody's putting that on today. There's no self-respecting gay person today.
I think they still love the Cyndi.
Wow.
The Immaculate Collection by Madonna, her greatest hits, must have in the gay musical library. Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road, Elton John, gay. The Queen is Dead by the Smiths, number 6 on the list. Judy Garland, Judy at Carnegie Hall.
That's a classic.
Number 5 on the list. Shut up. It's a classic.
It's a classic.
I not only own that album, I have the entire recreation by Loudon Wainwright.
Rufus Wainwright, actually. But yeah, he did, as a gay man and a fan of Judy Garland, he did a song-by-song cover of the Judy at Carnegie Hall album and put it out last year.
And you own it!
I'm a Rufus Wainwright fan. I like him very
DVD
much.
Documentary, The Making of. Have it on Blu-ray. I own the underwear he was wearing when he recorded it.
Well, it's not getting crazy.
I sniff it when I listen.
The countdown doesn't stop till we hit the top.
Indigo Girls by Indigo Girls.
Yeah.
Number 4 on the list. Tracy Chapman, another lesbian icon. Her album, Tracy Chapman, was number 3 on the list. The Smiths was number 2. Boy, the Smiths have two.
Coming up
two
twice.
Two slots in the top 10. How gay are they? And number 1, gayest album ever, according to Out.com. The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars by legend David Bowie.
Listen to me, Ralph.
Yes, Psycho Mike.
We were talking off the air about this list of gay albums, and I said that I had 2 of them, and Lisa agreed. We both had 2. Yes. Lisa, and Bean chimes in, I have 9 of them, okay?
So which one? We had to figure out which one he was missing?
The one album Bean does not have, Ziggy Stardust.
We know he's got Anthony and the Johnsons.
Ziggy Stardust.
Doesn't that Bowie's seminal album, Ziggy Stardust?
The one album on there that's not embarrassing in any way. Classic rock and roll album.
You don't have Ziggy Stardust.
Apparently it's not gay enough. Apparently that's the problem for Michael Edge.
I believe that.
I don't know why. I
it's
don't
a great care. Album.
I have a lot of Bowie albums, too. I don't have that one. I'll make a note. I'll pick that up.
How can you have a lot of Bowie albums and not have that one? If you're going to have one Bowie album, Ziggy Stardust is the one you get.
Either that's great.
It's like, you know, Heroes or Ashes to Ashes or that one. That's the only choices you have.
And he's made a trip to the record store to buy Indigo Girls and Tracy Chapman, but forego that Bowie.
Well, it only came out in 1972. I could see why he hasn't gotten around to picking it up yet.
That's all it is.
Damn it.
Yeah, it's on my list. I fail.
Boy George said about, he was one of the people making the list. He said, at a time when social and sexual taboos were just starting to break down, Bowie as Ziggy created a world where possibilities were limitless. You could be whatever you wanted to be, he says about that album.
Gay.
gay.
So gay. Today's celebrity birthdays, Tommy Lee Jones. Classic American actor. 62 years old today. Movie director Oliver Stone, who of course has W, the biography of George W. Bush coming out soon. Looks very funny.
Not a comedy, is it? Is it meant
it's
to be
funny
a comedy?
To me?
Yeah,
it's pretty funny to me. George getting all loaded, driving on people's lawns and stuff. Looks pretty funny to me. 62 years old today, and Heidi Montag is 22 years old today. Spence, how are you and Heidi going to spend her birthday? You have any plans?
Yeah, we're on our way to the Ivy.
Yeah.
We're gonna have some ahi tuna ceviche.
Right.
Head on over to Kitson, pick up some denim.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna get a denim hat, denim vest.
Uh-huh.
Drink some denim daiquiris.
Sure, yeah.
And we're going to maybe go to Teddy's.
Just another day in the life for you and you and Heidi.
I hear there's some paparazzi over at Koi, which means quid pro quo.
Sure.
Allah.
That's what it means, Allah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Heidi is 22 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
What it do is you pick up the phone and give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air, get a prize. Today it's a pair of tickets to the LG World Championships of Freestyle Motocross. That's coming up on September 27th at the LA County Fair. Plus, we'll throw in, check this out, a Mountain High season pass valid for the entire winter season coming up.
Oh,
how about
wow.
that?
Wow.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Good deal. All right, got some great calls. Let's start with Danny. He's in Brea this morning listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Danny, what it do?
Hey, what it do, guys? What it do, Lisa May?
What it do, Danny?
So I got a new name for Muffin Top that we use over here in Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We call them booby doos.
Booby doos?
Booby doos, yeah, because their belly hangs out further than their boobies do. And the best part of it is you can go right up to a girl that's wearing too tight of a shirt, and usually they don't even have to be that fat. They just have the belly going with a tight shirt, you know?
Right.
Uh-huh. And, you can go right up to their face and just call them a booby-doo, and your buddies will be laughing because they don't have a clue. They just think you're complimenting their boobs.
Yeah.
And okay. And it's just almost unnecessary, you know? If you had a little better clothes on, a little better clothing choice, you would have looked all right tonight. But,
yeah.
But you're a booby-doo.
Yeah, and if they're too fat, then we just call them booby-don't.
In African-American community, often they'll refer to it as the booty-doo because they're more preoccupied with their backside. They call it, you know, because her stomach sticks out more than her booty-doo.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah, it's just the belly going.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah right.
We got it,
Danny. Booby-doo.
All right,
got it.
Danny.
Strong.
Thank you for the call, and keep staying out there and keep judging those women, man. That's what you're best at.
Fupa,
we appreciate that.
Still the preferred term on the Kevin and Bean Show, right?
That's still a good one.
All right, we got two calls about the Denver-San Diego game yesterday, which really is the game everyone's talking about today because of the tragic way in which it ended. Which one looks better to you? We can only take one, Ralph. Which one do you like, Chris and Rancho or Susie and HB?
Let's talk to Susie because I think she needs to be consoled.
Okay, it's tough to be a Charger fan right now, and you'll find out why in a moment if you didn't watch the game. Hey, Suze, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
How you doing, Susie?
I'm not doing so good, actually. I'm a huge Charger fan. And the last 2 weeks have been very disappointing, as you can probably understand. You know, when Sean Merriman was taken out for the season, my whole attitude was, well, he's one player. How much could he hurt the defense? But I honestly am starting to think that without him, the defense is suffering greatly. What do you guys think? Do you think we have a chance?
The defense is still strong, I think, but obviously they're not as good as with a player of Merriman's caliber being out of there. But I think that the past two games have been fluky, and they've come down to the final seconds, and it's just been weird. But I think they're also a very good team, and I think that the season will get better.
Okay. Well, and by the way, it has to hurt in a sport like football where there is instant replay to have not had any kind of a recourse to get that lousy call at the end of the game overturned yesterday. I mean, that was just that was a crushing way to lose a game.
Well, earlier they had a replay that they challenged, but the replay equipment wasn't working. And so it went past 2 minutes, which is the allotted time for the NFL, and they said they can't look at the play and reconsider it because the videotape system wasn't working. So San Diego got screwed on that play as well.
Yeah.
I really can't believe that they can't just opt to go use the television replay, which was
That's what I was
fine.
Saying. If I can see it at home when they're showing me the replay, how can the umps not see it? But I guess they have a special system that's hooked up to that hood that they look at.
Thanks for the
But
call.
No, I think he'll be fine. I mean, you got LT's still one of the premier running backs in the league. You got a good quarterback. I think they're going to get their crap together. It's early in the season.
I hope so.
It's only two games. Don't panic yet.
Thanks for the call. It has been pretty sucky to be a Seahawks fan starting 0-2, by the way, which nobody really expected. You know, every single starting receiver for Seattle is out.
Yeah, I know.
All of them are hurt. But still, they scored 30 and still couldn't beat San Francisco. Heartbreaking yesterday. All right, let's try Robert in La Habra. I think he may have been the same dude that called us earlier this morning when we were doing our Runaway Smash Sensation feature. Let's talk about Megan Fox. Robert, was that you who called us earlier?
Yes, that was. Good morning, guys.
Hi, Robert.
Okay. So now you know who she is.
I took your advice. I went online and oh my God, my forearm and wrist haven't been so sore in a long time.
Yeah, Robert.
A man. Robert called this morning because, like a dope, he didn't know who Megan Fox was. He couldn't understand why all these people were calling up on Let's Talk About Megan Fox. He didn't know who she was, so we gave him homework, which was to Google her, and we weren't exaggerating. Right, Bob?
Oh, no, man. And you know what? What I want to see if you guys can help me do is find a good tattoo artist, and I want to get her face tattooed on my rear end.
You make your ass look a lot better, that's for sure.
Yeah,
we've we've got a guy. I mean, we've got a guy that we love that does tattoos. I mean, we will hook you up if that's what you want.
Hey, heck yeah. If I could come down to the studio, we'll do it during the Megan Fox segment, and there we go.
Yeah, we'll bring down here. We'll do it at the station, and we'll check in from time to time and see how your ass looks with Megan Fox on.
And we'll have photos.
I'm 110% down.
All right, hold on. Yeah. We'll get you all your details. We'll work something out for you.
If he's serious, by the way, then we will absolutely make that happen.
His cellmate's going to be so happy.
I know.
The view he's going to get, you know?
Guys, how are we going to get Megan Fox on as a special guest for Let's Talk About Megan Fox? How are we going to make that happen?
Chloroform.
Oh.
See, maybe the only
see? That's the kind of attitude that keeps her away from us.
It's an idea.
Chloroform.
It's an option.
It's a bad idea.
Okay, sorry.
And it's a crime, too.
Oh.
Let's try one more. How about Jesus in Los Angeles? He's on line 4. Jesus, thanks for holding on. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, Jesus?
So I go to the LA County Fair this weekend with the family. You know, mm-hmm. they got all their fried Snickers, fried Twinkies.
Yeah, they fry everything down there at the LA Fair, don't they?
I see a long line of a bunch of hungry people in it with fried cupcakes.
Fried cupcakes.
Sounds
cupcakes.
Good.
Why not?
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Great.
What's the problem with that?
Dude, you just see these people in line waiting for it. I mean, when I mean hungry, I mean hungry.
You mean fat? Fat people?
Wait. Yeah, let's just say fat people, yeah.
Well, yeah. I don't think a lot of fitness experts are lining up for the fried cupcakes, Jesus.
What do you expect?
Come on. It's fried cupcakes. It's bad enough you're eating a cupcake as it is with frosting on it. Not
well, then don't eat one if you don't want one.
Are you shocked by this, Jesus?
Yes, it was gross. Absolutely disgusting.
I would like to try a fried cupcake.
I agree.
I would too. I got no problem with that. Jesus, you're very bad. I'm sad that we have to give you a prize for calling in because you don't deserve it. There's nothing wrong with a fried cupcake. All right. Thank you for the call.
The LA Fair, by the way, is just fat people central. Fat people love the LA Fair.
The fair itself usually is a food porn extravaganza.
Right.
It's where you go to see stuff that like you never thought existed.
And usually they have some sort of white trashy country western sort of entertainment fair featured there as well. So, yeah. You know, that's a good combo.
I'm going to my Washington State Fair. I go every year. I'm going Friday. I'm already psyched. I'm already looking forward
to
it.
Ow!
For
boring.
Cupcake.
Ow! Boring
I'm
story.
Just saying,
ow.
A lot of people look forward to the fair. That's ow. All I'm saying. Last year when
Travis
I went.
Street. I'm going to eat kettle corn.
Last year when I went, I saw Weird Al, if you'll recall. So I can't wait. All right. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we've got a big one for you, including our friend Gustavo Arellano, who's going to be joining us for Ask a Mexican. Been a while since we've done that. He's got a new book out, too, so Gustavo stops by.
Did somebody order Mexican?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. Your friend Chicky stopping by tomorrow, Ralph.
Oh, Chicky baby. Love the chick.
Him.
I guess this is the Shield's final season. Actor Michael Chiklis is going to be joining us. We got K-Rock Lister who needs some help on hangover cures. He overdid it this weekend. Everything he thought would work did not. He's miserable. So the K-Rock listeners is who he wants to go to. We've got an update on George Takei, TV's Star Trek's Mr. Sulu's Big Gay Wedding. We've got an update on that for you tomorrow. And a whole bunch more, including more chances for you to win the Xbox 360 and the Rock Band Special Edition. All of that tomorrow morning right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Stick around. Kat Corbett next. She's got the MGMT, also Sublime, Linkin Park, Ramones, and more right after this on K-Rock.